blow the horn, let Zion hear. For God's day is now at hand. Let the people tremble in this day of clouds and gloominess. Troops so great and mighty strong, there has never been the like. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. Fire before them shall devour, flames ablaze are left behind. Such as Eden was shall become a wilderness that's desolate. Like the noise of chariots, and as horsemen do they run. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. People are faint at their sight, for they run like mighty men. Moving each on his own way, they do not tangle in their paths. Each to follow his own line, climbing walls like men of war. Then they charge as warriors and advance like fighters on their way. They upon the city leap, break through weapons each unharmed, run upon the walls and climb in houses, through the windows leap. Earth is quaking as they come, heaven shakes, stars cease to shine. Then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open air coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the found sheep of the house of Israel, and also some of the lost ones who are looking, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. Greetings. Now this is episode number 92 of the Movement Third, and the title of it is called Collapsed Crap Led by Jew Criminals. And instead of having a Sunday night show on the 16th, I felt tired and a little bit sick, so I went ahead and delayed it by one day to the 17th of October, 2011, Monday night. And in this particular episode, I'm going back, it's a Saturday, I believe, on the 22nd right now, and I'm trying to go ahead and get these things caught up. But in this episode, myself and Russ Walker, we go ahead and discuss how there can be no unity or no judity within either Zog, and certainly not within the bowel movement. What we went ahead and discussed quite a bit was how Crohn's disease, or as I call it, Jew Askades, whether it be in Commandork McBragg, Steve Elder, Legal Mamzer 2012 Johns, or Flinder, it's a sure sign of having a kike, you know, kike genes in the genetic woodpile of that particular Jew. Folks, if you end up having Crohn's, that's a Jew disease. And pretty well what Crohn's is just simply a rebellion by a kike, asshole against a particularly nasty kike asshole. Essentially, even a Jew's internal organs have gone ahead and had a immunity, you know, had a immune reaction against this particular spawn of Satan, kike, Jew. Now, folks, so we've gone ahead that in Deep Woods Dual Seed Line Christian Identity, a Jew is, you know, especially a male Jew, has pretty well fallen apart. His genetic structure because he is of the spawn of Satan and not really a man. Every so often, every couple generations, an Esther Kykus, a rather cute-looking Kykus, must go ahead and get Aryan input and stabilize the spawn of Satan bloodline. And in the case of Alex Linder, why, he looks fairly Aryan. He doesn't act Aryan. He has the hatred of a Jew for Christianity, and especially Christian identity, which is to be expected of a Jew. And now he has Crohn's and essentially has Jew ass cancer. But here you have, and it just seems to be a hell of a flip, and that here you have all these Christian identity people talking about Jews, 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 and then you have someone like Steve Elder, Commander McFag, whatever you want to call him, Legal Man for 2012 Johns, and Don Brown's wife, and maybe even Don Brown himself, suffering from Crohn's. So what does that tell you? It tells you that they're Jews. They're self-loathing Jews who have not gotten past the Jew stage of around 16 or 17 when they first figure out the enormity of being a vessel of destruction, of being a Jew, hits them. Now later on, I go ahead and talk about the vessels of wrath and destruction versus the vessels of mercy. You know, the children of Edom, children of Esau, the Jews, the Canaanite Jews, versus the children of Israel. I'll go ahead and discuss this later on at the very last segment of the Movement Turd. I think it's about the fourth or fifth segment. But what we have more and more and more and more are these Jews coming in and insisting, along with Manzer criminals like Alan Truitt, insisting that they have a part within Christian identity. And they don't. Why, not only does their faces, the show their countenance, go ahead and rule against them, their own kike asshole goes ahead and rules against them, tells everyone who goes ahead and looks and smells that this is a Jew. So who goes ahead and tolerates these Jews? And the answer of it is that Eli James does. Well, why? Because he's a Jew. Now recently someone went ahead and R.D. Bradshaw, and he is really, he's dual seed line, but you can tell he's of an age, I think he's 75 or so, and you can tell by the way he writes is that he's led a lot of British Israelite-ism, or Herbert, you know, Armstrong-ism, sort of creep into his writings. But on the other hand, he's a genuine article. And he figured out, is that, hey, look, Eli James, by bringing a Manzer like Brian Rio, is a Jew. And yes, he looks like a Jew. Yes, he acts like a Jew. Yes, he changed his name like a Jew. And, old gender bender over on 2.5 Manzers went ahead and banned him, as did Visser, who's a Manzer himself. So essentially, for talking the truth to Manzers and Jews, you end up getting banned. And folks, that's a Jew trait. So how do I combat this Jew incursion? And the answer is that you do just like every Israelite has done. The Jew moves his way in, and it kicks out the genuine Israelite. It kicks out the Israelite, immune defenses. And so what does the Israelite do? What the Israelite does is that he immediately, now that the Jew has gotten into the citadel, you turn that citadel from being a place of to where the Jew can go ahead and attack to where the Jew must go ahead and defend. And you turn that citadel into a ghetto. And you keep that Jew locked and penned up with, you know, continual harassing attacks. And that's exactly what I've done. I mean, this is not the first time. It's occurred before when Clint Downey and Andy Anderson, the rest, went ahead and took over a list server, which was really an FBI observation post set up in the summer of 1999. So, folks, I've had experience of that. But also, it's a genetic thing in that what the Jew does is the Jew worms his way in, speaking nicely and kindly instead of bluntly and honestly, takes over, kicks out and expels the real Israelites. And then what he has is he just has a hollow ghetto among round, which now the surviving Israelites are pretty well just under attack, and attacking, and then Jesus says, "Oy vey, the Holocaust, oy vey! Why can't we live? We're so persecuted, oy vey!" Well, that's exactly what Finkelschini, and exactly what Eli James, and exactly what Anglo Mestizo Truett of the Mogullet, the Mogullet and Mullet factions do. And essentially, that's what Jews do, is when they're on the outside, they get in, and then once they get in, they go ahead and expel the genuine Israelite. And then all that is left is to go ahead and fight and fight and fight and fight and keep that Jew penned up till it withers away. And wither away the Jew will, because the Jew is a parasite. It cannot create anything. And so what it does is it goes ahead and destroys the weak and the stupid Uyghur to go ahead and allow it in, and then leave all that was left is just a reaction against the Jew. Leave the Aryan to go ahead and fight against the Jew. And folks, what we have today essentially is a system which is pretty well hollowed out. It's been de-white, it's been de-Aryanized, it's been denazified, it's been anti-Israelite-ized, and now all it is a hollow shell in which the kikes go ahead and rule over their declining herd animals, which become more and more nigrified, less and less white. And as a result, now we Israelites are on the outside. And they are sort of looking for us. But the thing what we do is that we do not go ahead and ford up and beg and plead with Zog to please save us. No, what we do is that we fight and fight and fight and seek to go ahead and destroy the current order and replace it, and down to the very foundations, raise it down to where nothing is living unless it's white anymore. And that's what's going to go ahead and save the white race, is this great tribulation, which is great collapse, which is getting closer and closer and closer and closer, because Jews cannot govern. Jews can only rule and destroy, because they're nothing but parasites. They're not even symbiotes. They don't produce anything that is good for the host. All they can do is destroy the host. And the host either dies, and then the Jew dies, the Jew parasite dies, or the host goes ahead and rallies and kicks out the Jew. And what's going to happen in this great tribulation is that pretty much the host will die, and all that will be left is a few hundred thousand or maybe a few million whites left. Around this time, you have supposedly 7 billion humansers living on the face of this globe, and the vast majority of them are young muds, unable to go ahead and do anything. And pretty well the cycle of feeding and breeding is about to come to an end. All that can happen is an abrupt collapse, and this abrupt collapse will happen in the Great Tribulation. So folks, what I urge the Israelites who are listening is to, first, don't go ahead and have anything to do with this above ground, what I call Wikipedia Talks to Christian Identity, run by Jews, run by Mamzers, run by criminals and Zogbots and snitches. What you do is that you go ahead and you sit back and understand your Bible. You read your Bertrand Comparé. You stay away from these wandering herds of Mamzers running forth to and fro in these Zog false fronts. And what you do, secondly, is that once you get right with Yahweh and you go ahead and you look after your family in a local way, you go ahead and figure out in community the regime criminals, the Mamzers, the Jews, which need to be eliminated in this great tribulation. And you wait for the time, and the time shall come, when you will be like troops so great and mighty strong that there has never been the like. And you go ahead and destroy them. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and, like I said before, the reason we always have, and I always go ahead and harp on this, is that the reason we have the situation we have are in today is because of Uyghur race traders, Uyghur criminals. What we have is that we have a Uyghur problem because through their sins, we end up having to pay the price, all of us. And just like in the 10 plagues of Egypt, we cannot go ahead and escape some of the consequences of this great tribulation. Some of us may very well die as a result of either leadership like myself or because it's just simply not Yahweh's will that we live. But folks, that's why you need to get close to Yahweh as your number one concern. And folks, what we do indeed have is a Uyghur problem. So I'm going to go ahead and upload this edition, number 92 of the Movement Turd. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghur's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the way you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, if they wake it up to mind. The way they run to and fro, the way you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, just the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem, till the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our greatest memory. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the winners you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop.
Greetings, ogling Uyghur and Mamzer ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also, to whom this show is mainly directed, which are the found sheep of the house of Israel, the chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear the call, tonight is the regular chat, Tonight's October 17th, 2011. It's actually a few minutes before 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. This would normally be the pre-game show, but right now I'm recording it. I'm waiting for Russ Walker to call in. And yesterday on the 16th, which was a Sunday, I was not feeling very well, so I went ahead and canceled the show with about an hour and a half notice. And tonight I'm feeling rested and fit and ready to go. Folks, at least I can be grateful. I don't have Crohn's disease, a.k.a. Jew-ass cancer, or / Jew-ass gaze like Alex Flender, Commandor McFag, and Legal Manzer 2012, and Don Brown's wife have. And tonight, you know, it was episode number 92, and it's called Collapsed Crap Led by Jew Criminals. And the reason I call it is that was the name of a, you know, potential thread by William B. a while back ago. And I went ahead and resurrected it as the title of the show. Now, I've sort of caught up with the recent editions of the Movement Turtle. I only got one. Well, it depends on how you ask. You know, one, two, or three. Which haven't gone ahead and been put up. I'm going to go ahead and put up this, it's going to be about 2 hour show or so, from a week or two ago. But I went ahead and put up Thursday's show already here on Monday morning. And I'm feeling sort of rested. But during the last three or four shows, it's been about that I found out through Legal Manzer 2012 running his mouth on Dan Johns's, talk show show on the 6th. So actually for the past 10 or 11 days, this is what I found out is that Legal Manzer 2012 has Jew ass cancer. He literally has Jew ass gaze. He has Crohn's disease. And folks, that's a Jew disease. Even if you look white or something like that, the reason you end up having it is because you have Jew marker gene somewhere. You have a Jew in your woodpile. And I was going ahead and looking over at Finkelschini's chat, and pretty well I was mainly trolling Elier James and you know giving McFag a hard time. But what I did do is I did manage to go ahead and get at the very beginning before Matt Twat Zogbot showed up. Let me go ahead and post it here. And it was old Finkel, you know, it was pretty well at the beginning of it. As guest number three, I went ahead and wrote, you know, of course, Finkel, you know, adamnarchbravejournal.com, where Finkelschini, murderous kite criminal. Then Finkelschini logged on. It was before Matt Twat Zogbot logged on. Guest number three. Gotta love getting in some trolling before Matt Twat Zogbot shows up. Legal Man 2012 is logged into the chat. William Fake is logged into the chat. Then guest number three said, "Hey, Legal Mamser, thanks for writing out McFag as having Crohn's." And then no one comes up. Then Don Brown 222 is logged into the chat. "Now everyone knows McFag is a Jew. And you too. Crohn's is Jew ass cancer. William Fink is on the call." Well, this was the other William Fink. It's Matt Twat Zogbot. And guest number three says, "Everyone thinks Dan Johns is your daddy." Well, when Matt Twat Zogbot showed up, he immediately blocked all the guests. And the only guest on was guest number three. So Don Brown, 222, said that was ugly. Then Finkelschini or Matt Twat Zogbot said, "Get lost, Farton Winstead." Don Brown, 222, yes. So, Legal Man says, "If you believe everything you read on the internet, then damn, you're quite a loser and a fool. Then again, you are already." Later on, Legal Manzer, and I'll go ahead and post this to the chat. Legal Manzer was going ahead and whining and bitching and pissing and moaning on Finkelschini's that he indeed was suffering from a Crohn's attack, and he had to fast for the past 2 days. He was suffering from Crohn's. Now, it's just like having Brian Real on the call. The little Clifton M. Heiser sitting like Captain Feltier looking on. It's essentially all about them knowing full well they have Jews and Mamzers, and yet whining and pissing and moaning to the skies about Jews, how Jews are the spawn of Satan. They're evil. Mamzers are no good. If you're a Mamzer, you have no hope of salvation. I agree with that. But obviously, they really don't. Because if they really did agree with that, you would think that they would essentially not allow Jews and Mamzers in. But if you go ahead and read the chat, essentially you have old Mrs. Matt Twat Zogbot saying, poor baby. And you have legal Mamzer going ahead and admitting he has Crohn's. And then, okay, let's see. Hey, Russ.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay, well, I went ahead and started the show, before time, and I was pretty well getting on a good old rant, good old fashioned rant. And folks, what happens is that I was saying that I was not feeling very good yesterday, but any case, I don't know if you went ahead and looked at the. Are you on the chat room by any chance as well?
I can't get in. I'm having trouble with my computer, but it's okay.
All right, well, no big deal. Let's see. You know how I love trolling Eliars, because Eliar doesn't initially block all the guests. But Saturday night, what I do is I try to go ahead and get on at Finkelschini's. And what I do is I save the link real quick to the Andy Rinarsh blog, and pretty well show that, Finkelschini is a murderous Jersey City Jew kike who goes ahead and murders people in prison like the coward that he is here. Now, folks, I don't have a problem with Finkelschini killing Puerto Ricans. But I do have a problem with pigs. I do have a problem with pigs running around, beating to death, handcuffed prisoners. I mean, it's just a cowardly pig
aspect of it here.
I mean, someone like Finkelschini should have been skinned alive, and all the rest of his pig family, when he went ahead and did that here. But Finkelschini lied to me when I first, got in touch with him in 2009. Well, I was in prison for 12 and a half years. I said, oh, what are you in prison for? Oh, I was supervisory personnel. And what I did is I got charged with civil rights violation for exceeding to corruption. And Fink lied to me. He out and out lied to me.
It's
not okay to go ahead and be a coward, a liar, and a Jew, to be a lying coward, and a lying Jew pig. And essentially, he can very well tell us that, what I did is that I went ahead and murdered a prisoner while he was handcuffed, in a jail, and I managed to go ahead and avoid the actual murder rap, but I ended up spending 12 and a half years because I murdered a prisoner because I used to be a Jersey City pig. He could very well, say that. But, the truth has come out, and what you have, and that's what this show's about, is all these people in the bowel movement who essentially are willfully blind, who do not want to know about the truth of the matter. And, did you have any comments, or should I go ahead and go on?
No, go on. I mean,
okay. Here you have, I got a response from the, from the Free Edgar Steele bunch. He's a little dweeb who's wanting to do, saying whether or not it's safe to do an interview. And you have in our wonderful bowel movement all sorts of people who know exactly that some of these characters are Jews, some of these characters are murderers, some of these characters are ex-pigs, some of these characters are Zogbots. But they go ahead and they invoke the spectacle of false unity in our movement. Now, the true dual seed line Christian identity believer does not believe in unity, because who wants all of mankind under one whip, under one Jew? Who wants all humanity under one Jew? And the answer is Cain did.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Cain was trying to go ahead and get his half-brothers and half-sisters through Adam and Eve to, you know, be under him, to help him rule the beast men, among whom he went ahead and made a city, and among whom he forged a mighty empire. Who was trying to go ahead and create? Who was trying to go ahead and create the second Zog Babylon by having the garments of power, you know, of Adam and Eve, that Yahweh gave Adam and Eve, and where he had control of the beasts of the field, and was trying to put all of mankind under one ruler to build a great tower up to the heavens to supposedly kick Yahweh out? Whose idea was that? The answer is Nimrod's. Zog Babylon is the one who believes in unity.
Well, one world government routine, nothing's changed today. I mean,
yes, well, that's what gets me, is that the, you know, it's called universalism. You know, just like the Roman Catholic Church, Catholic meant universal. It was all Catholic. Everybody was allowed into it. And what it is it's the Baal priest religion of Sibylle, to, you know, from the Hittites, you know, from Tantalus and the rest of these people, you know, through Nimrod and Semiramis and the rest here. According to dual seedline Christian identity traditions, Shem, and this was in the Worldwide Church of God, you know, Dr. Herman Hay somewhere found out this tradition that Shem killed the original Nimrod, and the book of Jasher says that Esau went ahead and killed Neo-Nimrod, and Jacob went ahead and took care of, you know, Esau's, or Nimrod, Neo-Nimrod's people came about here. But when Shem went ahead and hacked Nimrod into little bitty pieces, he went ahead and he hunted Nimrod down, because Shem was not a beast of the field. He was a he was a white man. He was an Adamite.
Right.
And Shem went ahead and found and cornered Nimrod and cut him into about, well, according to legend, 12 or 13 pieces. And that went ahead and went, you know, made the story in Egypt about how Ra or Re or Horus had been cut into, you know, had been gone ahead and cut into pieces by the dark god Set. Well, some, or Seth. So supposedly the name Seth, which was really replacement for the patriarch, who was a replacement for Abel, became known as the Egyptian dark god who ruled the underworld. But in any case, they came up with the story is that everything, you know, is that Isis went ahead and she gave birth to little, you know, Horus. And pretty well, she gathered together all of, you know, of Amon, Re, or whatever's pieces, except for his penis, which a jackal had gone ahead and eaten and run off with. And I have fun going ahead and talking about Oda Gender Bender over on Two and a Half Mansers losing its pickle, you know, to a dingo in a Alice Springs, you know, lorry, lorry, a.k.a. truck stop. But anyway, that is what, you know, that is pretty well what happened, is that old Semiramis was a Kenite, evil bitch running a whorehouse, and old Nimrod, who is the son of Cush, who got these garments of power. I mean, you know, you talk about the spear of destiny, you know, I mean, nobody really talks. Maybe it could go ahead and be part of a little, oh, sort of like Castle Wolfenstein, the old spear of destiny, supposedly the spear that pierced Jesus Christ was, was a relic. Well, the original relic of power were these garments made from all the beasts of the field.
All the skins,
you know, beasts of the field. You gotta wonder if maybe, you know, they were clothed in nigger skin and goat skin and red nigger skin, but anyway, they were all covered in the original, you know. These animals were killed, and Adam, you know, learned to go ahead and eat meat, and then the animals became carnivorous, because supposedly they all ate grass or the herbs of the field. And then once you add the, quote, original sin, which was really Eve's sin, you know, and Adam's sin for allowing her to go ahead and eat, you know, partake of the fruit here. And someone's asked me about trees. And, folks, you got to understand, in that Christian identity, the man is responsible for whatever his wife does. If she does something wrong here, you don't go ahead and beat the woman for a crime. You go ahead and you hunt down her husband. You beat his ass for what he allowed his bitch to do. And pretty well, that's what, you know, that's, you know, that was the sin of Adam, was for going ahead and allowing his wife to, well, you know, pretty well bed down with Satan. Of course, there's an alternative story, this legend that he also, Adam also went ahead and sinned by essentially having sex with Lilith, who was Satan's, you know, who was Satan's daughter as well here. But
does the Bible say that Seth killed Nimrod?
No, no, it doesn't. It doesn't here. No. What happens, these are all these traditions. You've got to understand is that our Bible has been corrupted. The King James Version is part of the Masoretic text. Much as I hate to say it,
the Bible was a Roman Catholic institution. That's why you have so much in there about Paul and everything else, but that's okay. You know?
Well, you end up having, you know, folks, I am not a Paul basher. I do agree that you end up having Paul, but Paul has always been under a little bit of scrutiny because of who is he allowing into the church. And the answer is that these Greeks were Adamites and Israelites. In some cases, like the Spartans were of the tribe of Judah through Zerah, the younger brother, the one with the red, you know, one with the red string around, you know, the one with the red hand, i.e., the red string around his hand because he stuck out his fist, I believe, in Genesis 38, and then he pulled it back, and his older brother, well, Perez was that one actually born, but he was the first one out of the womb by having his fist out the womb. So the midwife went ahead and tied a red string around his hand, and then he pulled back his fist, and his brother was born before that. And I think the older one was called Perez, and the younger one was called Zerah. Well, since the older one was born first, he got the double portion. We were talking about portions. To where if a man had seven sons, the estate was divided into eight portions, and the older son got a double portion. He didn't get the entire thing. He got a double portion. But if you end up having surplus population, the younger sons would go ahead, migrate, you know, north, west to, say, Britain or France or Spain or wherever, or north to, say, north to Greece here. You know, what became Greece? The Spartans supposedly were settled by the block-headed Danites and the Zeraites, and so was Ireland. You end up having the Tuatha De Danann, and they were the, you know, they were the Danites, but getting in earlier, what happens is that a lot of this stuff is based upon books which have been found and corrupted by Jews and then incorporated into their Talmud. And the problem is, in that many cases, you go ahead and you look at the Talmud, you look at the Book of Jasher, you look at a number of these books, they have been corrupted by Jews. And Eli James, he loves to go ahead and come up with all this apocrypha, which has been diddled and fiddled with by the Jews. Now, much as I hate to say it, the Roman Catholic Bible, you know, from Jerome's Vulgate, the Douay Rheims, is a more accurate version of the Bible. And the reason it's a more accurate version is when Jerome came about in 546, these Jews had not had a chance to take the Septuagint, the Old Testament Bible, and go ahead and pervert it into the Masoretic text here. So you end up having these traditions. You end up having these traditions, and you do go ahead and you listen to the Talmud, knowing full well the Jews will go ahead and twist it. But one of the, you know, one of the traditions, I don't know how, where Herman Hay came up with it. But according to traditions, Shem went ahead and killed Nimrod, and Esau, according to the Book of Jasher, killed Nimrod as well. Well, which Nimrod did he kill? Did he kill the original Nimrod? And the answer is no. He killed Neo-Nimrod. But what you've had within the Baal priest religions of Catholicism, and you had it in ancient Egypt. You had Isis worship. You had the worship of Tammuz here that they mentioned in the Bible. You had, because Nimrod came up with it, you had all these stories about how Nimrod is not dead. He was, yes, of course, he was hacked into pieces here. Old Shem went ahead and hacked him into pieces and sent it to the major governments and the major, you know, tribes of the day. He went ahead and hacked Nimrod into 12 or 13 pieces and sent him out. And one piece sort of got waylaid by, well, got eaten by dogs or jackals or whatever. And what happens is Isis fashioned him a wooden penis. You know, that was the piece that was missing. And, no, he went ahead and he quickened. He quickened, and now, inside my womb, there's the new Nimrod reborn here. And you have the, you know, you have the, you know, the belief in the Yule log and the Christmas tree. And Herbert Armstrong's church used to go ahead and get into that. They said that Shem, you know, there was this doctor, he became a doctor through the Ambassador College, you know, I guess you could say diploma mill and seminary. He became a doctor of theology through that. But somewhere, Herman Hay had a big old two-volume set of his doctor's thesis, and it was pretty thick, and I went ahead and sat down and read it one time here. And supposedly it was of the true history of the Worldwide Church of God from, well, Adam and then through Christ and then through the Waldensians and then through the Anabaptists and then, you know, always fighting with the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? So, I mean, this is, you know, this is, you know, pretty well what, you know, pretty well, well, the answer is, what happened to the coat? And the answer is, I don't know. From my gather, Esau got the coat, but I'm not quite sure where it was. And, you know, by this time...
No, Joseph got the coat, not Esau.
No. Joseph, you're talking about the coat of many colors.
Right.
Of course, I think Esau ended up getting the coat, but then again, that brings up the question, because supposedly this garment, these garments of power, both for Adam and Eve, supposedly these garments would enable whoever wore them to rule over the beasts of the field because he had the hides. Well, when, you know, aboard the ark, here you had Ham, he had a Jew bitch. He had a Tubal-Kenite bitch named Naamah, which was also the name of his mother. And Naamah was the Tubal-Cain sister. And you go ahead and read that Tubal-Cain, you know, Tubal-Cain was Lamech's son. And essentially, Lamech was going ahead and indulging in the little Jew sport of shooting an arrow in the air. Where it lands, I know not where. Well, one of them arrows, which he flew in the air, went ahead and old Cain was running around his chariot or something here. And that arrow came down and hit old great 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 grandfather Cain in the gizzard and killed him dead. And supposedly cursed Lamech, because whoever kills Cain was going to be avenged 70 times 70 fold. And Tubal-Cain was the Kenite who was taught by one of these watchers how to not only go ahead and melt and smelt bronze, but also iron. And later on, his sister Naamah was given, you know, was given this secret on how to go ahead and smelt iron. She gave birth to Canaan, and this ancient Hittite empire was pretty well founded on the military supremacy of having iron weapons. And you read that, you know, even the Philistines end up getting iron weapons. And pretty well they ruled over the Israelites, because they would only allow them to have plowshares. They would not allow them to have swords. They would not allow them to have anything made out of iron other than a plowshare. And you go ahead and read it in First Samuel about that. So anyway, Ham supposedly also had sex with one of these niggers who was allowed, you know, was aboard the ark. And nobody was supposed to have sex on the ark. Little Ham, he did that. The dog had sex aboard the ark, and the raven had sex aboard the ark. So, you know, there's this other tradition of the Coley Church is that three critters had sex aboard the ark. You know, the dog, the raven, and Ham. You know, that's what John Britton was telling me. And Ham, you know, the nigger wife, you know, the white wife gave birth to a number of children, among which were the Egyptians, you know, or the Mizraimites, as Flaw Fenton calls them, you know, and, you know, the other one, was, you know, the Jew wife, Naama, gave birth to Canaan, and the nigger wife gave birth to Cush. But Ham went ahead and stole from Noah the garments of power, which had gone from Adam to Seth to the various patriarchs. Ham was also he was a fornicator. You know, he loved that Jew pussy. But he also was a thief, and he stole the garments, gave them to Cush, and Cush gave them to Nimrod. And these garments of power enabled Nimrod to essentially rule over the beasts of the field because their skins were there. Well, who are the beasts of the field? Well, they're the cattle, they're the, you know, they're the tree sloths, they're the armadillos, they're the, you know, they're the, you know, critters that creep on the earth, what have you. But they're also the niggers and gooks and, you know, I imagine old Nimrod never had any access to red niggers, but essentially these creatures, when he became a mighty hunter because dealing with these lions and tigers and bears, but he was also going ahead and when he showed up in his coat, the animal, the beast of the field, would become submissive. And he'd be able to go ahead and kill that animal. But also, he didn't have to kill the animal because these beasts of the field were submissive. So he set up the second Zog Babylon. And he was going to go ahead and build a tower up to the heavens. Now, well, you ain't going to flood us out again, Yahweh. Okay. You ain't going to flood us out again. We're going to go ahead and build this big tower. We're going to kick your ass off your throne. And essentially, he wanted to set up a second Zog Babylon and do the same miscegenation and throughout. So what Yahweh did is he confused the original common tongue of Adam and Eve. He confused the tongue so they could not understand each other, and so they broke up. There was no more unity, and they broke up. So that's pretty well, I'm not quite sure how I, got to this here. But folks, what I was bringing it up is that anybody in this bowel movement or anybody who wants unity is essentially saying the same thing that Cain wanted, Nimrod wanted.
Right.
And what they are in addition, they're sort of...
We separate. There can be no unity if there's separation.
There's no, Yahweh's portion here is that the obedient Adamites who went on to Europe, they were not flooded out. They were obedient. They went ahead and scattered off. It's the beasts who want unity under a white rule, and in this country, you see all the I see Dukes in Granby. Now Dukes in China, they don't live very well. They have a head duke and they have a despotism. And essentially, the big dukes go ahead and screw over the little dukes. Same way with the niggers. Same way with ostensible whites in Europe. What they do is that you have a strong leader, and essentially by fear and domination, he imposes his will. And here you have Anglo-Mestizos and Whiggers who essentially, they want all the things that they're not supposed to want because they've been trained that they want it. And it's also a function of cowardice. Untrained troops, when they first get into battle, what they will do is under machine gun fire, under artillery fire, they will bunch up like a herd of sheep trying to go and seek shelter from the flock. It's veterans who learn that you disperse, that you spread out so that one machine gun, that one burst of machine gun fire, one artillery shell can't take out the entire squad, can't take out the entire platoon, much less the company and the rest. So it's trained troops who understand that you need to spread out. And, folks, what these people, when they want unity, is that, like Carol Covington says, they want a crowd to hide out in. That's what they want. They want a crowd to hide out in. So all this, quote, unity ends up, like in the case of Legal Mamzer.
We are not brothers. We're supposed to be separate. There's not supposed to be unity. That's your old nigger bullshit about brotherhood and everything else. It's puke. It's satanic.
Yeah, it's the Brotherhood of Mamzers. Well, Mamzers, you know, Mamzers...
Well, it's what Raccoon used to say, you know, brotherhood and everything else. That's nonsense.
Yeah, brotherhood. What happens is us, the poor nigger, have a right to go ahead and take the white man's wallet and the white man's wife.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the heck it means here.
I'll tell you what, Martin, can I take off for about 15 minutes? Do you want me to call you back in 15 minutes?
Okay, well, yes, that would be a good thing. If you have something to do, why don't you call me back in about 15, okay?
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and use this time to go ahead and take a little break of my own. And we were talking about Nimrod. But what I wanted, you know, the reason I came onto this in the introduction is that you have all these critters pretending that we're unified. We're all in this together. And what happens if Lil McFag ends up having Crohn's, which is... you know, which is a Jew disease, and poor little legal mamzer ends up having Crohn's. Well, we're all in this together, ain't we? Are we not brothers? Are we not in this together? And the answer is no, we're not. No, we're not. Look, you boy, you're not my brother. You might be way, way, way back my half brother. You know, and I might very well admit that old Eve suffers from telegony. That's why the white man is far short of being immortal. But the answer is that Jews, you are the spawn of Satan. Someone went ahead and said, well, why don't you go ahead and forgive Eli James? He's a nice guy. I said, first of all, why should I forgive someone who gone ahead, and I have him on tape admitting that in conjunction with Brian Rio, he has gone ahead and taken down my web pages, like he said on the 7th of January, 2010. And secondly, why in the world should I go ahead and go? Not only with that, he's done me an injury, quite a few injuries, to where, essentially, rather than having an open talk show channel, I have to have a secret talk show channel, where just like under Jew oppression, under Nero, and under the radio, under the Catholic Church, the Merino-Jew Church here, where the true children of Israel have always had to go ahead and hide their faith and, you know, in order to go ahead and have their own religion. Let's go ahead and say that, hey, forgive him. Let's say he was a Wigger who did that here. But the chances is he's not a Wigger. Eli James is a Jew. And going ahead and forgiving a Jew for being a Jew, forgiving a Jew for going ahead and getting into Christian identity, totally unacceptable. I have no, if I believe what I do believe, the Jews are a spawn of Satan, therefore Eli James is a spawn of Satan, and therefore I have no, you know, I have no intention of overlooking the fact that Eli James is a Jew. And I'll grant you, he's a lot nicer Jew. A lot nicer Hugh Mamzer than Rabbi Finkelschiede, or, you know, Anglo Mestizo Truett. Or Morris Gallet, who's a Wigger, but, a drunken crackhead snitch of a Wigger. I cannot forgive a Jew for being a Jew. A Jew is the spawn of Satan. If I believe what I really do say I believe, then there is no peace that I can make with Jews. And you want to know better than even ask. It's not going to freaking happen. No peace with Jews. Never. That's why there's this, you know, program tonight here. It's not so much the legal mamzer 2012 is Crohn's. Not that Don Black, you know, Don Brown's wife has Crohn's, thus a Jewess. Not that Commandor McFag, Steve Elder, whatever you want to call him, and I'll find his name sooner or later, has Crohn's and therefore is a Jew, a rather delusional Jew. What is unacceptable is everyone who knows these critters are Jews because they have Crohn's, not only their continents, but their bungholes have testified against them, are still going ahead and acting totally in disarray to what they claim to believe. I say they don't believe it. They're just wandering mamzers playing at Wikipedia/TalksJew.com. Christian identity. They're not for real. And folks, anybody who goes ahead and tolerates Jews in the congregation in violation of Deuteronomy 23 verse 2 is committing the same sin that the Uyghurs did in Noah's day and the Uyghurs would have done in Nimrod's day if Yahweh would not have confounded their tongues. Yahweh pretty well put a stop to it because he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. Essentially 3,000 years before Christ was born, to go ahead, and 100 years or so after Noah's flood, he was not ready to go ahead and destroy the Uyghurs for setting up a mighty evil empire in response to Satan, under Satan's administration. He was not ready for a USA. He was not ready for another Zog Babylon. What he did is he confounded their tongues so that they would scatter. They would have no choice but to scatter, and therefore to be at war with each other, not unified. Folks, like Jesus Christ, I do not come to bring peace within the movement. I come to bring a sword. I come to go ahead and make this great tribulation a great tribulation. And that's what this program is about. It is criticizing the clowns and Jews and Mamzers within this movement. That's what this show is about. And therefore, that is what this show in particular is about as well. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Hail victory. Zogling squirrels and zogling goys will always sit down and suck whatever lies we recognize. We don't give a fuck. There's a lot of goose dead, so we can sleaze and piss at night while we lie off our heads. My daddy served in the army where he lost both his nuts. Clowns blew that rag out our yard till the day that it died. It wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live stupid in the land of the free. Now this empire that I loathe is falling under attack. A mighty Jew cocksucker, come dudling dog up the ass. As soon as we can see dimly through our dumb black eye, Mamzers, we let up your shithole like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Zog, we'll put your name at the top of its lip, and the statue of Jimmy Grunt, stop flapping her tip. And this eagle will shit, and it's gonna be hot when you sniff Mammy's freedom. Skanky old twat, she'll feel like Zog. Shitstorm is coming, she's down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the Rock Wigger and Jews. Oh, Justice will be served and the Kiklings will rage. This big old Zog will shit when you rattle its cage, and you'll be sorry that you messed with the Jew of A. Because we'll put our tongue up your ass. It's a Zogling fag way. Hey, Uncle Zog, we'll put your name at the top of his list, and the statue of Jimmy Grunt flapping her tip. And the eagle will shit, and it's gonna be hot when you sniff Mammy Freedom. Stanky old twat, she'll feel like Zog. Shit storm is tearing me down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the Rock Wigger and you. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, the Rock Wigger and you. Oh, shit. Whoa, whoa. Of Wigger's Red Walker and you. Okay, folks, we're back. I'm waiting for Russ to go ahead and call again. But essentially, I was talking about my Army days, and that's been, 30 years in the past here. I served in the Army from February 1981 to February 1983. I was a two-year man and two-year only. I served in, I served as fire direction control for the Lance tactical, missile system. And you would have some of them which would have an HE warhead, which would go ahead and, essentially send out cluster bombs. These little grenade-sized things would go ahead and peel out and it'd send a whole bunch of cluster bombs against soft targets. And the other half was small nuclear weapons here. And I was in a nuclear weapons unit. Now, this particular military occupational specialty later on became the one for the multiple launch rocket system. And throughout the Army, they have gone ahead and discontinued a lot of the tube units. The 155 millimeter was the most common self-propelled howitzer. Has a big old gun. And they used to even have 8-inch howitzers, which was 203 millimeter as opposed to 155. And since it's such a big gun, it did not have an enclosed thing, but it was self-propelled. Now, when you end up having a self-propelled howitzer, it don't go ahead and shoot as far as a towed howitzer or a towed, cannon or, you can call it really a howitzer, because it has a breech block. I used to know that all this sort of stuff here. Just like I used to know the difference between a missile and a rocket was that a rocket didn't have a guidance system, a missile does. But a big old 8-inch would not have, since the recoil was so big here because you're firing, equal or opposite reaction. But 155 would, the shells would weigh around 200 pounds, it'd be 155 millimeter, but that was the backbone of the artillery way back 30 years ago. But nowadays, what they do is that they end up just having a crane and they don't have as many soldiers. They don't have as much of a fire direction control, but generally the MOS for that is a multiple launch rocket system. And they've gone to rockets and missiles because all they need is to just go ahead and crate them up. But on the other hand, those rockets and missiles cost a great deal more money than just a artillery shell. I remember back even in 1986 when I decided to go into, play reserves for the money. I was in the Army Reserve, and this local unit was the 3rd and 75th Field Artillery. 3rd Battalion, 75th, Field Artillery. And the 75th was the original regiment. The United States Army used to be divided into regiments, and you would have a whole bunch of companies in this regiment, like under Custer. You'd have troops in the case of cavalry, batteries in the case of artillery, and companies in the case of infantry, and the rest. But then they went ahead and went to battalions. So you would have, three line battalions and a headquarters battalion and a service battalion, company. And essentially they go ahead and you'd have 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th battalions. Well, they went away from the regiments and they went into brigades, so we have 3 or 4 battalions in a brigade and a couple brigades in a division, a couple divisions in a corps, and a couple corps in an army group, okay? So, that's for somebody who used to go ahead and be in it. But they turned my MOS from the Lance missile system because Ronald Reagan was going to, one of the things he said, he was going to go ahead and bring in the Pershing 2, he was going to go ahead and bring in the Lance 2 into Europe unless Gorbachev went ahead and signed this agreement for theater nuclear missiles. And Gorbachev went ahead and agreed. In 1985, it was signed, and pretty well the battalions, the nuclear missile battalions, were pulled from Europe. And later on, my particular military occupational specialty became that for the multiple launch, rocket system. And what they do now is that rockets are far more expensive. far more expensive than just, oh, tube artillery. More expensive in terms of, well, the actual equipment, which is expended. But on the other hand, tube artillery is far more expensive than the number of personnel that you need to go ahead and operate. Now, the artillery battery is far smaller than company. Far smaller, especially if it's, you know, something like missiles. Instead of having a full-fledged, highly intelligent people, because essentially having to do higher function math here, look up books in a logarithmic table, or even punching calculators, keeping generators running, keeping camouflage netting operating, takes a good deal more manpower than just simply having a truck, an all-terrain vehicle, run around with a computer and a crane to simply just go ahead and load up the already packaged rockets and go ahead and just fire them here after going ahead and plotting in a solution here. Now, back when I was in there, you had a special chip which went in a Texas Instruments 59, programmable calculator. You had a special chip. And essentially, you didn't really need the generators. Okay, I'm hoping this is Russ here. Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Get your stuff done, or did you go ahead and troll Wickstrom?
I didn't troll Wickstrom. I was buying some other things to solve the problem. So
oh, okay. Well, we don't really need to know what they were here. Anyway, Russ, I was going ahead and talking about my Army days 30 years ago. I was in the Army. I was a two-year man and two-year only in a nuclear missile battalion in Germany, and I was going to be sent to Germany because that's where you had two overstrength battalions in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, which is the Army, and I think still is, the Army headquarters for the field artillery, and you had six understrength battalions in Germany, and this was in 1981 to 1983, at the very tail end of the Carter years, the very beginning of the Reagan buildup. And I was in a nuclear missile battalion. You had six battalions under strength. I got sent to the one rated number six because of the nutball colonel who liked running 10 miles in combat boots. Nobody really wanted to go ahead and put up with that crap. And it was 12 under strength, It was 12 under strength, so I got sent to the number six rated one. And pretty well, I was telling about how the Army has changed here. And Harold Covington's books go ahead and makes the point is that in the Northwest Republic they don't use all these expensive $2 million rockets. Well, this is Harold Covington. He has this Northwest Republic, and he's been writing a book about what happened after the guerrilla war, which set up this Northwest Republic, American Republic, in the Northwest states of Washington, Oregon, and Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, and parts of Montana. And in any case, in his book, he makes the point that since they have quality personnel, what they do is that they have redone French 97s. French 75s, 75 millimeters. The first real modern cannon in the terms of what we know as a modern howitzer was the French 1895 French 75, which would go ahead and fire a 75 millimeter shell. And pretty well, Harold Covington says that they went ahead and they revamped the French 75. They're using small towed artillery, and they're using anti-tank guns and the rest, which will go ahead and pierce, armor. But in any case, I was saying is that today's Army has gone away from the tube units because the rockets cost a good deal more money, but they take far less personnel to go ahead and fire a missile set aboard a truck, and you just have one or two people in the fire direction and control center. And essentially what they do is they just simply load the box up, pretty well take the ends off, and they go ahead and fire these rockets from this prepackaged box. Now these rockets end up costing. like a Tomahawk costs about, I think, about, what, $10 million or so.
Probably.
It costs quite a bit here. Whereas an artillery shell, a 155 artillery shell, we were firing when I was in 1986, we were firing powder. We were firing, what happens is the powder fort came, it was called 8-bag. And what happens is that if you fired the full thing with 8-bag, when it was big old grains of, it's not really gunpowder, it's called propellant. And what they would normally do is take off, they always took off number 8. Because if you fired it with a full 8 rounds here, that would be at the extreme range. And what it would do is it was for firing a nuclear round at extreme range. And if you went ahead and fired all 8 charges, it would go ahead and rupture the hydraulics of the howitzer. I was pointing out that it's a self-propelled howitzer because it has a turret inside it, except for an 8mm, essentially does not have the range of a towed howitzer. Because with a towed howitzer, you don't have it inside a turret to where it has plenty of room to go ahead and go back as far as it wants to do. So anyway, what we would do is we'd take off number 8 and usually fire either 7 of the 8 bags or 6 of the 8 bags. 6 for a shorter round, 7 for just a couple miles, 7 for about extreme range of about 12 to 15 miles. I mean, well, this is sort of esoteric stuff. In Harold Covington's Northwest Republic, he ends up having his Northwest Republic Army essentially man a whole bunch of a relatively small 75 millimeter, 75 millimeter guns here. But when I was in the Army, but folks, we were using propellant, which was packed in 1986. We were using propellant, which was made in 1959. We were using propellant, which was made in 1968.
Gunpowder? What do you mean?
Well, it's not really gunpowder. It's called propellant. I mean, what it is that it's not really gunpowder. It's really made out of nitrocellulose, and you can call it gunpowder. I mean, it's sort of like.
Well, it's different for gunpowder, but I know what you mean.
It's called propellant. What it does is it pushes. It will push a 155 millimeter round weighing 197 pounds. Anywhere from, about a half mile, which is direct range, to, about 15 or 16 miles, which is long range. Essentially, it will go ahead and push, a little bit of propellant will go ahead and push a 200-pound, shell, artillery shell. And what goes ahead and determines it is this little fuse, which is screwed in in advance here. And essentially, there's a whole bunch of firing points and stuff like that. Well, that requires, guns require a lot more manpower than a simply going ahead and crating up a rocket or a missile inside a box and just simply loading it up into a cradle and then firing it off with one or two men, just one or two men here. That's why a lot of these tube units have pretty well been dissolved. Now, the 3rd of 75th, this Army Reserve unit I used to be in, it was replaced by the 414th Military Police Detachment because the Army needs far more military police than they do artillery, tube artillery. So the tube artillery units have been pretty well disestablished here. So that's pretty well what we were talking about here. So anyway, I was wondering if you'd gone ahead and seen Wickstrom, and I guess we're going to go ahead and get to what we are talking about.
Wait. Rather than discuss
artillery,
we should discuss, if anything, this Occupy Wall Street. What's going on?
Okay, let's go ahead and discuss that here. Brian Rio showed up 4 days ago. Someone went ahead and pointed out, he's on Finkelschini's blog again, on his little blog on Finkelschini's Christo Degeneres. And he did not like Occupied Wall Street. He did not like all the little mamsers running around here, little pregnant mamserettes and all this, going ahead and talking about how the Jews of Wall Street, and they don't mention Jews, but essentially Wall Street should go ahead and steal money out of the mouths of the poor little pregnant beaners and mamseresses and all this, and wiggers. And he said that was communistic or something like that. Now, I got to wonder, because I don't think Brian Real, I think, has a work history of exactly 3 weeks, maybe short a day or so, at Hertz Rent-A-Car. He was pretty well I guess he was at the counter. Can you imagine Brian Real and customer service at the counter?
The thing is, Martin, these people, you know, first comes suffering, then comes knowledge. These people are hurting. Now, I mean, I'm sure there are all kinds of different people.
Wiggers are hurting. Wiggers are hurting all over.
These people are hurting. Hey, I went to a nursery this weekend. The nursery's shutting down. About 6 or 7 nurseries in where I live have all shut down. They're not building homes. They don't need they don't need trees and shrubs.
Oh, you're talking about nurseries for, you know, you're talking about bedding plants or, you know, loading up plants here for shrubs and stuff like that for brand new houses here, which they have, what, a couple million of them?
People don't have the money. They don't have jobs. They're in trouble. I live in Moore County. There was a big thing tonight on CBS News about, not CBS, it was, CBS.
Nigger Kane showed up in North Carolina. It was on that about how poor old Moore County, essentially you have the rich wiggers and you have what, you know, about 3 or 4 golf courses and how they can't go ahead and get money, or maybe you live in the county which is getting money. But essentially, because you have all these rich wiggers living cheek to jowl by these poor wiggers, they can't go ahead and get money because they have the rich wiggers.
I know
the golf course.
A bunch of goddamn hard-ass Yankees come on down here from New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts and stuff like that. They generally aren't liked, except in Pinus, but they do have the damn money. And that's part of the reason they aren't liked. In Robbins, which is the northern part of Moore County is the fifth, I think, it went down in earnings or income or something. It was the fifth of the United States. I don't know exactly what it is.
Well, let's look at CBS News. Were they they were talking about the county you live in then, were they, Russ?
And the northern part of Moore County is on their rear end. They ain't got no hole for anything. And our sorry-ass governor, a Democrat named Beverly, what the hell's her last name now?
I don't matter. Was she the bitch who said that we ought to go ahead and postpone elections here so they go ahead and fix what these professional politicians have fucked up?
When she was in charge of state senate about 4 or 5 years ago, she was the one who gave the one last vote to put the state gambling. North Carolina was the last state to have gambling, and you know, of course, we joke, we say it's the only tax niggers pay. But in any event, this state is in deep, deep trouble. It has got no future. It has got no future. It's got big old signs around here saying it's military friendly and all nonsense. When the U.S. goes down the road, the military goes down. The big three of North Carolina: the furniture, the textiles, and the tobacco are all gone, and they're not coming back.
Oh, what happens is that Lowe's and Denny's are closing too here, and I looked at the list of 20 stores at Lowe's, and I think there was one or two of them in North Carolina.
Well, Lowe's and North Carolina Corporation, they're headquartered up in not Bone.
Ashland, whatever, is in the western part of the state, something like that.
They're in the northwestern part of the state, but that's Lowe's headquarters. It's a North Carolina corporation. People realize it. Like Bank of America is a North Carolina corporation, whether people realize it or not. But in anything, the state is on its ass. It is literally, they ain't got no jobs down here for anything. You go to a Lowe's store, there aren't many people in the Lowe's store. They aren't building anything. People don't have money for that.
You had a real estate bubble. And the real estate bubble's been going on for 3 years. And essentially, you had all these buildings, and now they foreclosed, and people are out on their ass. And people, you know, I heard that it would have been just simply cheaper to go ahead and give the nigger, you know, pay for the nigger mortgages, pay for the less thicker McMansions, than it was to go ahead and bail out the banksters. But essentially, you have all these buildings, and now they're, essentially, from what I gather, they're being used as crack houses. A lot of them are, because the banksters are not paying their taxes. Essentially, it's sort of like buying a wonderful house in Camden, New Jersey, in a lot of places in California. And what happens is these beaners are coming in and ripping out the copper wiring and selling it, on all these houses that have been foreclosed. But, your county, I went ahead and seen that thing here. They were bitching that this particular county, essentially, is really a poor county, but they have a whole bunch of rich assholes in the southern portion of the county. Is that your county that they were talking about?
That's true.
Okay, it was your county they were talking about on the CBS Nightly Screws, right?
Exactly.
Right? Okay. Well, see, old Rutherford County here has just got sort of been, mentioned in the news to where they were bitching that next door you have another poor county, but the northern part of the county has just nothing but poor people, and they can't go ahead and get $750,000 for the county seat because they have this rich town with four golf courses where they play the U.S. Masters Open, and they can't go ahead and get any money.
Courses, and the golf courses are gorgeous. But that's another point.
Well, they're gorgeous because, hey, I mean, what happens is golf has changed from St. Andrews, you know, right next to the sea, where it was used for nothing else other than poor crofters to go ahead and play a game with balls, you know, and wooden clubs. Essentially, it's turned into a rich Jew business, you know, where you're a businessman, you know, sport, to where essentially now you have nigger woods running around, acting like a nigger. Supposedly claimed he had a sex addiction, addiction, but essentially what he liked doing is he liked screwing white women other than a Swedish wife here. He liked screwing her and giving her a belly full of niggers, but he liked going ahead and screwing other women. And here he was claiming that he had a sex addiction. No, you're just a nigger that likes screwing white women. I mean, you're just a typical nigger. But, you know, you remember that from a couple of years ago? Old Tigger the Nigger Woods had a, quote, sex addiction.
He's a hybrid mongrel.
Yeah, he's a hybrid, you know, he got Duke in him, but, you know, he's mainly nigger, or that's what he mainly looks like here. And supposedly he had a Swedish wife, and he went ahead and screwed her and had two nigglets. And, that sort of thing. But anyway, you have these wiggers going ahead and asking, though, acting like old Tigger the Nigger Woods or Herman Cain. It looks like the Republicans are going to have a special Uncle Tom Nigger to go ahead and run against the Democrats' Uncle Tom Nigger, who is going ahead and sucking off the Jews of Wall Street and the West here. But this Occupy Wall Street, what you end up having, I was looking at this Jew, James Howard Kunstler, and I go ahead and read his blog that he comes out every Monday. And folks, what we have is we have the beginning, I think, of a revolutionary situation. Right now, they are having a, quote, peaceful protest. But like Carl Denzer says, they're not going away. This thing, they end up having one in, of all places, Pittsburgh, Kansas. You know, which is, a town a little bit smaller than Joplin, which has its own little, you know, thing here. They had an Occupy Wall Street thing at Pittsburgh, Kansas.
It was 1930. This thing could get nasty.
Oh, it could. Hey, right now, what you end up having is you end up having the pigs macing people. You have the pigs going ahead and playing their little pig games. But pigs don't seem to realize is that you don't know, you know, and James Howard Kunstler was saying the same thing. He was saying it's the same process by which grasshoppers turn into locusts. Essentially, something goes among the crowd, and initially you end up having a bunch of unemployed young men. It doesn't matter whether they're niggers or not here, but usually unemployed young men, their inclination is not usually peaceful. It may start out as peaceful, but it don't take much to go ahead and have a whole bunch of hot-blooded young men of whatever race to go ahead and turn for things to turn nasty real quick, does it? Still there, Russ?
And you know what could happen? They have no future. The young people in this country realize they have no future, and that's what makes them desperate.
Oh, they're figuring out that essentially one of the last bubbles is the college financing bubble, to where essentially in order to go ahead and justify the, you know, what, you know, I mean, college costs have been, what, three times the rate of inflation. I mean, way back in 1976, when I got a scholarship to go to Crowder College, a little two-year school, the tuition was $100 total. $100 total. Now it's, I think, over $100 just to take one freaking credit. And this is a two-year community college. You know what I mean? It costs $14,000, $15,000, $20,000, for anything here. And even more for graduate school and the rest here. And essentially, they're selling, huh?
What you're saying is absolutely correct. Your details may be off. What difference does it make? The rate of increase of college tuition has been outrageous the last 20 years. It's a business.
Well, it's pretty well a business to where they're going ahead and giving these university presidents $1 million in salary. Now, back when I was, back in Crowder College days here, I think old Dell Reed ended up making, $32,000, which was very good money. You know, especially in Southwest Missouri. You know, when the average wage was around $15,000 or $20,000, he was making about double what, you know, ordinary working class people were making here. He was making about $32,000-$38,000. He was making about double, you know, what was essentially the average for a middle class, you know, for a middle class existence here. Well, he was a doctor and all that. He was doing pretty good. You know what I mean? But now $1 million, why, that's several times what, you know, the average rate of $25,000 is if you end up having a job. And folks, these people, you know, all these college educations, the actual learning has gone down quite a bit. The actual ability of learning anything has gone down quite a bit. You know, it seems to me, you know, before the days of, well, like an engineering school, you didn't have a calculator, did you?
Never did.
You had what was called a slip stick or a slide rule, correct?
I still have them, two of them.
Okay. And what you would do is that you would go ahead and line up these little marks, and essentially you'd end up having what was called a log. It was called, I think, a logarithmic function here. And essentially it'd go ahead and give you a integer, and you're supposed to go ahead and figure out what the decimals were, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's pretty well the way it worked here. Now, you're supposed to figure out how many decimals to go ahead and add as opposed to the difference between 2 and 200. You know what I mean? You're supposed to go ahead and figure that out in your head, correct?
Well, sometimes you use pencil and paper with a decimal point, but generally you're correct.
Yeah. Well, I came at the very end to where they were still selling slide rules. I don't even think they sell slide rules at engineering schools anymore. What happens is that they sold the last of the Pickett slide rules for about $2, and I went ahead and bought me one. I got somewhere in the attic out at the farm. But essentially, when I went to school, they had the Texas Instruments 30, which was the first real scientific calculator. But back in your day, you didn't have them. Well, folks, for all these computers and all the rest of it, people no longer learn how to go ahead and actually do math on a piece of paper and, you know, pencil. I don't even think they go ahead, and back when I went to school, they used to go ahead and make you memorize up to 20, you know, a couple of years before, they made you memorize up to 20 times 20, which is 20 times 20 is 400. You had to go ahead and remember what 19 times 19 was, what 18 times 18 was. Well,
I don't remember. It was only the 12. The times table.
Only the 12? Okay, well, I used to see up to 12 here, but by the time I ended up going to school, it was really 10 times 10. You know what I mean? And as far as, you know, I mean, you had to remember everything from 1 times 1 up to 9 times 9. It's 81. You know what I mean? You had to remember your multiplication tables. Well, folks, there were a lot of people who didn't remember their multiplication tables. It pretty well went out of their head. But, folks, I don't think that nowadays people end up having to go ahead and even do 10 times 10 anymore. I think people have become downbred and stupider, and essentially these colleges... Someone went ahead and printed what was expected in order to graduate from high school in 1891. And folks, this was harder than anything that you end up learning in college nowadays. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So things have gone ahead and gotten, you know, worse and worse. But yes, it's Occupy Wall Street. You end up having someone like Brian Reel. Brian Reel showed up about 4 days ago. He was bitching that, oh, they're a bunch of communists. Well, no, they're not. What they are is, so far, they're a bunch of older people, but they have a bunch of younger people, and essentially you have all these people, and they're quite right. Why in the world should Jews in Wall Street, why should they be allowed to steal pensions? Why should they be bailed out by the government? Why should they? Why should they? Why should Jews be allowed to print money? Why should Jews be allowed to pocket money? Why should there be a lot of usury?
I totally agree with you.
Why should white people, why should anybody going to these shitty colleges to learn a shitty degree, which isn't really needed, and if you are over 40 nowadays and white, essentially if you end up losing a job, you're not going to get another one, are you? Something going on, Russ?
I'm sorry, Martin.
You sound like you're crumpling up a potato chip bag or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, Martin, this whole world is upside down. I don't know.
It is going upside down. You end up having...
Long and last us without some major problems. So, somewhere in the Bible, I don't know what book it is, it says that when Yahweh comes back, there'll be a day of like dreadful dread and mourning. It's one of the minor prophets wrote that stuff, and maybe not Nehemiah. I can't remember. It's like it'll be like a day of dread.
Well, like Joel chapter 2, which I've gone ahead and said, you know, troops so great, you know, and mighty strong, there has never been the like. Then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black. This is Joel chapter 2, one of the hymns that I've sung, you know, by Dwight Armstrong. You end up having a lot of things end up happening. But Jesus Christ himself said that there would be a great tribulation such as never was and never shall be again.
Right.
Now, here you have Emmaheiser essentially preaching now the doctrine, you know, with Finkelstein, with Eli James, preaching the doctrine of, quote, papist, you know, what I call papist preterism. To where we already went and talked about this, where 90% of biblical prophecy has been fulfilled. No, I agree with Herbert Armstrong's church. 90% of biblical prophecy has not been fulfilled.
You're right.
Has there been a great tribulation such as never was and never will be again yet? No, that's in the future. But
right.
This future is no longer very far away, is it? You see what looks like a collapse. Here's Obongo talking. He's bitching because the Senate Republicans didn't go ahead and pass his little jobs program, his little private stimulus job for his buddies, for the niggers. And by the way, he signed an executive order about a month ago, simply saying is that white government, you know, government jobs are now closed to whites. They're to be given to niggers first. Correct?
You're absolutely right.
Yes, and, I've heard a number of people saying that nowadays that Medicare, which used to go ahead and pick up everything for old white, you know, for old white people, from what I gather, during the Nigger administration, he stole $500 billion, you know, to pay these old wiggers, and he went ahead and took it to, you know, support Obongo Care. To go ahead and give niggers and illegal beaners free medical care. And as a result, these older white people are having to go ahead and copay. And it's far more than 20% anymore. They're having to copay more and more and more, aren't they?
It was by and large, it was the whites who elected that nigger. And if they get screwed, they goddamn deserve it.
Well, they do deserve it. And, you know, I mean, didn't it say during the original, you know, the old covenant, or at least the one made with at Mount Sinai with the newly freed Israelites, that the racial alien, that if you weren't obedient, if you were obedient, five of you would chase 100 non-Israelites and defeat them. Well, the odd verse was that when you don't obey Yahweh, it just takes a small portion of non-whites to go ahead and buffalo a mighty army. I'm looking at Afghanistan. They're saying that there is about 25 Al-Qaeda. And what they have 140,000 NATO and U.S. troops chasing 25 Al-Qaeda. 140,000 ZOG troops chasing 25 ragheads with dangerous notions in their head. And it also said that if you didn't obey, that you would be brought, you Uyghurs would be brought very, very low, and the racial alien would be put above you, and he would be raised very, very, very high. Well, hasn't that come to pass?
Martin, that's what happened. I've been fired a couple times in life using the word nigger at work, and it was a goddamn white who fired me. Let them all rot in hell as far as I'm concerned. They're trash.
Well, let them, you know, let the Uyghurs live here. I mean, Russ, would you agree? I mean, by every episode of this show starts with me singing, before the main segment, I go ahead and add an introductory segment. But I go ahead and start is that what we have is we have a Uyghur problem. We have whites, so-called whites, which I call Uyghurs, essentially bringing the Jew disease, allowing these Jews, allowing these niggers, allowing these beaners to run wild. And until the Uyghur problem is taken care of, there can be no, until white, actual true whites, the found sheep of the House of Israel, have free reign to go and deal with the spawn of Satan, until we have free reign to deal with the niggers, until we have free reign to deal with these beaners and gooks, until essentially we are able to go ahead and deal with Uyghurs, there can be no solution. In fact, the Great Tribulation is about letting Uyghurs die in their own stupidity.
That's what's going to happen, man.
That's exactly what's going to happen. You see, the first Zog Babylon under Noah, essentially, Yahweh didn't go ahead and flood out the gooks. Yahweh didn't flood out the niggers. He didn't flood out the red diggers in the New World. It was not a worldwide flood.
It was the mixed race Mongols.
It was of Zog Babylon the first, which were these Adamites who had gone ahead and created a big multiracial empire under supposedly white rule, and I think it was in reaction to Cain, Sargon, rampaging wild, to the east of them. And essentially, it was just like the United States going against Russia. And initially, it was a white ruled, or an Adamite ruled empire. But as time went on, they miscegenated with the few gooks that were there, and they went ahead and miscegenated with these demons, and produced these hybrid mongrels, these giants.
That's right.
And what Yahweh did is that Yahweh didn't go ahead and flood Cain's beast empire. He didn't flood the niggers or the rest. He didn't flood Europe, where the obedient Adamites were settling, and pretty well, I think, were intermixing with the Cro-Magnon men and thus going ahead and gaining souls. I think that essentially the very first Zog Babylon was of this former bunch of Uyghurs, of these Adamites, who had a highly advanced civilization in reaction to Cain. But what they did is they miscegenated themselves away. And under Nimrod, they were going, if left to themselves, if they had one language, they were going to miscegenate away. And Yahweh wasn't ready for things to go ahead and go to that, point here 3,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, so he confused their tongue, and he went ahead and scattered, the children of Noah and the Adamites. He went ahead and scattered them all out. And they had numerous, numerous tongues here, which people end up calling the Indo-European tongue. Well, these tongues are based upon the same, on the same mother tongue, which they call Indo-European, but actually it was the Adamite language, which is the basis of the Indo-European tongue. Now, I was listening back when Eli James and Finkelschini were yakking here, and old Finkelschini's a great historicist. He was talking about how the Masoretic text here was screwing up the original Hebrew tongue from, you know, 1000 B.C., even though the Masoretic text came about in the middle Dark Ages from around 800 to about 1000 or so. Same time that the Jews were inventing, you know, developing their Talmud or finishing their Talmud. You know, so Finkelstein, you know, the Finkelstein got a whole new... What happens is that when I went ahead and called them papist prayers, because you had Eli James saying that the Roman Catholic Church put Satan into the pit from 500 to 1500 because that's what Finkelstein was saying. Now Eli James says it's from 800 to 1800, but essentially you end up having old Clifton Emmaheiser dig up this German who went ahead and talked about how millennialism is of the Roman Catholic Church as well as preterism, which is a lie. And, you know, Emmaheiser didn't have anything to say. I mean, Emmaheiser has become nothing more than a whore. And I was sort of listening somewhat with that. They were bitching about Willie Martin, about him being a plagiarist because Emmaheiser says he's a plagiarist. Folks, it's sort of disgusting when you end up having, you know, here you have Legal Mamzer, here you have Don Brown talking about his wife having Crohn's, and here you have these two people who might as well say, I'm a Jew, I'm a Jew, I'm a Jew. You have Legal Mamzer saying that he would rather have had, you know, colon cancer than Crohn's. Why is that, do you think?
Who the hell, I don't care, Martin. I don't have the problem. I'm worried about it, that's all.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, like you said, you didn't know about Crohn's until I went ahead and started making a big thing about it because I found out that Legal Mamzer said that Commander McFag had Crohn's too, and he has Crohn's. You didn't know what Crohn's was until I started mentioning it, did you?
Absolutely true.
Okay. Why, you know, why do you think you never heard of Crohn's?
No other problem, that's why.
Well, you know, I mean, I would say that you have an even slighter chance risk of getting Crohn's disease than you do of getting AIDS, you know, Russ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to call it Jew ass cancer, now I'm calling it Jew ass AIDS, because AIDS is immune deficiency disease. Well, guess what? So is Crohn's.
No.
Crohn's is a Jew immune deficiency disease.
AIDS is a virus or bacteria or some other damn thing.
No, it's called by a so-called retrovirus.
Right.
What they did is that over the years, what they found out is you had these blonde, blue-eyed faggots living in San Francisco, and their little beasts of pleasure, their little nigger and beaner faggot butt boys were dying of AIDS, and these blue-eyed, blonde faggots weren't dying of AIDS. So they went ahead and did a search here, and they found out that in about 16% of whites in Scandinavia, and by this time in America, about 2% of whites, i.e. these blue, blonde-eyed, you know, people of Scandinavian descent, the reason that they weren't getting AIDS is because the retrovirus, or supposed retrovirus, would not go ahead, and something in their genes would not allow that retrovirus to go ahead and attach to the cells and create this immune deficiency. So they figured out that some whites are immune to AIDS. Okay? Well, Russ, I don't think you're going to get Crohn's. That's why you never heard of it. You know, Crohn's is pretty well something that was not even on your radar screen, was it?
No, I never heard of it.
That's right. But what happens is Legal Mamzer 2012, he knows what Crohn's is. Why does Legal Mamzer know what, you know, Crohn's is? Answer, Legal Mamzer is the son of Dan Johns, and Dan Johns is a Jew. You know, Commander McFag is claiming that he said he told Legal Mamzer he just had heartburn. You know, he don't have Crohn's. Well, you know, McFag, you have Crohn's. I mean, the reason you have Crohn's is because you're a Jew. Alex Linder got Crohn's. And, some people don't know who everybody I think knows who Alex Linder is. Alex Linder, you know, in addition to having all the Jew, you know, characteristics here, and the main Jew characteristic he has is absolute hatred of Christianity, and he hates Christian identity the worst. You know, he hates Christian identity the worst of all Christianity here. I have threads and threads and threads. Well, there's a reason why one-third of Alex Linder's posters on VNNF, just like John DeNugent, a.k.a. John DeNutjob, said, is around Yom Kippur, you end up having a pretty well complete break in posting at VNN. The reason of it is at least a third and the most prolific posters on VNNF are Jews. So there is a reason, you know, there is a reason why Legal Mamzer would soon have actual colon cancer, which can be, you know, which whites can get, especially the taller, have more colon to affect. He would rather have colon cancer than Crohn's. And why is that? The answer of it is that, hey, the Crohn's indicates that he's a Jew.
Well, maybe the colon cancer can be fixed, the Crohn's can't. I don't know.
No, what happens is the colon cancer can go ahead and kill you. You know, my family has been pretty well resistant to cancer here. But my grandfather, Fred, he ended up having colon cancer. He smoked like a chimney, but he was a big, fat, tall Swede here, and he eventually, he was exacerbated by his smoking. I mean, he would smoke hand-rolled. He almost never smoked, you know, the homemade cigarettes. So the hand-rolled were a little bit less dangerous than the, that, but he would smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke, and he smoked until the day he died at 95 or 96 or something like that here. But he ended up getting colon cancer, and essentially ended up having a colostomy bag. But folks, I mean, Legal Mans would far rather have colon cancer than Crohn's, because what does Crohn's indicate? Answer, it indicates he's a Jew. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I've been tweeting Eli James. I said, yeah, Eli, you're a Sephardic Jew. You're not likely to get Crohn's here, although some Sephardic Jews get Crohn's. But no, it's mainly an Ashkenazi Jew disease. And what struck me, if you go ahead and read the thing here, is you end up having Mrs. Matt Twat Zogbot, and you end up having Don Brown and Legal Mamzer. They did not like me going ahead and talking about their Crohn's disease at all.
Too damn bad.
But what you get is that you have all these people talking about how, you know, let me go ahead and read what old Legal Mamzer said here. Guest number three at 6:45:29. Papa Cat logged into the chat. Guest number three was already there. I went ahead and posted the Andre Renarch BraveJournal.com about where Fink went ahead and murdered this Puerto Rican, you know, who was handcuffed here at the time. Guest number three, Fink Oshini, murderous kite criminal, William Fink, logged into the chat. Now, that's actually Fink Oshini. Guest three, gotta love getting in some trolling before Matt Twat Zogbot shows up. William Fink is logged into the chat. Guest number three, hey, Legal Mamzer, thanks for writing out my fag as having Crohn's. Don Brown 222 is logged into the chat. Guest three. Now everyone knows McFag is a Jew. Guest number three. And you too. Guest number three. Crohn's is Jew ass cancer. Then said William Fink is on the call. Well, that's actually Finkelschini. Everyone thinks Dan Johns is your daddy. Well, what happens? This other Fink joined in. That was Matt Twat Zogbot. And what he did is he immediately went ahead and blocked all the guests. The only guest was guest number three. But going on later on, Don Brown 222 says that was ugly. And if you believe everything you read on the air, damn, you're quite a loser and a fool. Then again, you are already. But if you go ahead and look at the chat, and I went ahead and looked at it. When I put it up Sunday morning. Well, yes, later on Sunday. He was going ahead talking about that here, but Eli James now claims Jews will end the heaven. But you had Legal Man 2000 and Don Brown. They were all mad because they were talking about that here. Hospitals refused to. You know, he went ahead and said hospital. You know, at 7:23, hospital refused to acknowledge this because if you fix celiac or high yeast candida, you inadvertently cure your Crohn's. Well, Legal Mamzer went ahead and admitted, and then 7:25, he said, Legal Man 2012, right now I'm fighting off a bad Crohn's flare.
Okay, Martin, they are. I mean,
And the answer is, what do you want me to do about, well, in any case, what do you think about someone like Clifton Amheiser talking about how if you're a bit racially mixed, even a smorsh, you know, you have no part in the, you know, in the kingdom of heaven, and yet here he is logging on to Brian Rio's show along with Fink. You don't think Amheiser and Fink don't know that Brian Rio's a mamzer?
That's where he sold his soul.
Yeah. You don't think, here's Legal Man 2012, and he understands that on the Finkelschini show, he can talk about how he has Crohn's, you know, about how he has just had a Crohn's flare-up, and then Don Brown can go ahead and talk about how his wife has Crohn's as well. If his wife has Crohn's, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean that she is?
She has the same Jew problem. Then.
She's a Jew. She has the same Jew genetic problem. Now, dual seed line Christian identity holds that Jews, because they are the spawn of Satan, that especially the male Jews, they have to go ahead and come up with a beautiful kikus like Esther. You know, what I call an Esther kikus, they've got to go ahead and get Aryan input in order to stabilize their lineage. And if they don't do that, the male, especially the male Jew, ends up going ahead because he's poisoned by the bloodline of Satan. All this Jewishness goes ahead, and you know, all the schizophrenia, the Crohn's and all that stuff goes ahead and affects the Jew drone. So you end up having these, you know, these Jews, some of these Jews, every two or three generations, you have to have a beautiful Jew in order to go ahead and have an Adamite or an Aryan male screw her. That's what they did with a lot of kidnapped babies from the Lebensborn program after World War II. You had all these SS officers who were, you know, who were going ahead and, you know, acting as stud for these girls here in the Lebensborn program. And essentially what Germany did after the war is that they just sort of, you know, made it all hush-hush. They made it sort of hush-hush, and they just quietly went ahead and continued to go ahead and, grow these children who were sired by SS officers. But in some cases, the Jews got wind of that, and they stole some of these babies in order to go ahead and act as stud to go ahead and breed in so that they would have blonde, blue-eyed Jews. I never have a problem when a Jew marries a nigger or a beaner, because that means a Jew who is not going to be as likely to be able to infiltrate, well, Christian identity. But you have William Fink. William Fink claims to be from the Rhine-Palatine. Well, folks, whenever you come across a rather dodgy character who don't know how to behave, he says he's from the Rhine-Palatine, watch out, you have a Jew.
Well, just listening to this thing speak, you don't need to know any more about him.
Well, he's a Jersey City Jew boy. I have one time, I need to go ahead and dig it out. He was asking, how come there's so many Jews named Fink? Well, I got a real good reason, Finkelschini. The reason there's so many Jews named Fink is that Fink is a Jew name. Right?
Sure it is.
Yeah, sure it is. I mean, there's a video clip in this movie called Beer, Oktoberfest or something like that, to where Fink's got the eye of the Jew. Fink's got the eye of the Jew. It's a little bitty Hebe, and what happens is that he gets mad at this big old German calling him a dirty kike. How come you got a hose nose? Is that your wiener schnitzel? Is that your nose? And then old Fink gets mad here, and he gets a little star, gold star, David is eye here, and he Fink's got the eye of the Jew. And folks, Fink does have the eye and the speech of a Jew. But here you have Don Brown talking about his Jew wife and legal mamzer talking about his Jew ass, you know, AIDS. And you have all these people, you know, he said, I was pro pod scan x-ray for a good 3 weeks. They still come back with, we don't know what's wrong. He has markers of celiac, IBS, UC, and Crohn's. Don Brown says, been there, done that. So there's a reason why old Don Brown acts like an asshole to you, Russ. It's because he has a Jew wife. He might be a Jew himself, but he has a Jew wife.
I don't really care.
Well, fine. But doesn't that explain to you why Don Brown acts the way he does?
He's crazy. He says stupid things to a whole bunch of people.
You know? Well, he might be a Jew himself. But what he does is that he has a wife with Jew ass gates here. If you end up having a kike wife here, wouldn't you act a little bit crazy?
I guess so.
Well, yeah. You end up having a Jew bitch here. Well, hey, that's a hell of a deal, ain't it? You know, and then legal, you know, Don Brown, it's a food allergy. However, one knows how the small and large intestine works, it's easy to see how immune system has a role. Well, folks, the reason your immune system, you know, one of the things that go ahead and define a white person is that 75 to 100% of Chinese, depending on where they're at and how much, you know, white blood they have, do you know that Chinese have a lactose, you know, deficiency?
I mean, they're intolerant.
They're intolerant. Yeah, they don't have the enzymes which go ahead and break down milk sugar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have to go ahead and turn it to yogurt or something like that here in order to digest the milk. You know, be it mare's milk or cow's milk or anything like that here. That's why they're not really big on eating ice cream or dairy products.
I never knew that.
Well, usually the Africans, what they do is they mix it with blood here, like the, you know, East Africa.
Oh, yeah, that's sick. You're right.
But that's the way they go ahead and, you know, live here. I mean, you know, in the cow system, blood is turned into milk, you know, it's turned into milk fat here, you know, through the rest of the stuff. And, you know, essentially what the Africans do is they just go ahead and drink a milk chased down with blood from their cow's neck here. The Indians, they mostly have a lactose deficiency. You know, pretty well, although they do have some Aryan blood in them here. What happens is that the ones who like butter, you know, I mean, the Romans and Greeks used to make fun. Well, we have olive oil here. You barbarians eat butter here, and you use it to grease your axle wheels. You go ahead and you actually eat that stuff. Well, folks, Europeans, Aryans, Israelites, don't have a lactose deficiency, do they? And the answer is that no here. I mean, I ain't that crazy about milk, but I can digest it.
I love the damn milk. I bet I've ate 100,000 gallons of milk in my life. I shouldn't eat it because it makes you heavy, but I love the stuff.
No, milk fat does not make you heavy. Fat does not make you heavy. It's carbohydrates that makes you heavy.
Well,
I mean, that's why pigs... How much butter do pigs eat on their corn?
Zero.
But pigs get fat, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you think they get fat from eating butter on their roasting ears?
No.
Where do they get fat from? They get fat from the starch, which is converted to calories. That's where they get fat from. They don't get fat from eating butter, you know, eating butter on their roasting ears. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fat does not make you fat. Fat, you know, I mean, it's fat which has changed, you know, is carbohydrates which end up making you fat. Protein does not make you fat. Sugar doesn't make you fat. What makes you fat is, you know, what makes you fat is the carbohydrates, the starch, the bread, the potatoes, the pasta. That's what makes you fat. Okay?
That's tough, yeah.
But my point is that here is Legal Man 2012, who essentially is acknowledged as Dan John's son, who essentially is telling throughout this here chat here about how he has Crohn's disease. How, you know, Don Brown's wife, she has Crohn's disease. Folks, for, you know, why should you believe that, you know, essentially when it comes down to it, that think for all this talk against Jews, and Eli James, for all this talk against Jews, and Emma Heiser going ahead and talking about Jews, and yet you have obvious Jews talking about how they have a Jew-specific disease. What does that tell you? It tells me to think, and, you know, Eli James, essentially are not only Jews, that they're liars as well. I mean, folks, if you believe that manserhood makes you, you know, out of the congregation of Israel, what are you doing with Brian Reel? Why are you allowing Brian Reel to run wild among you?
I agree with you.
Yeah. So the answer is that these are people who are exactly Zog false frauds. They're not for real. This is just wandering mamzers going, running from, you know, pillar to post. And Ethan 24, he's a Eli James partisan, and he is blocked over on Finkelschini's. Legal mamzer isn't. But he doesn't really go that very much to, you know, but you have, throughout above ground Christianity, you have mamzers, you know, I call them wandering mamzers, you know, participating in what I call Wikipedia-talkshoe, you know, Christian identity.
Okay,
it's not really. So anyway, I wanted to pretty well essentially talk to you is that there's a reason these people have Crohn's. The reason they have Crohn's is that they're Jews. And the reason that these other people go ahead and tolerate these Jews is because they're Jews and Mamzers and Wiggers themselves.
Well, the Crohn's is incontrovertible evidence. That alone is a penalty for anything they may do. That's all. Okay, look, I'm going to go. Good night.
All right. Well, I'll let you go, Russ. You have a good one.
Good night.
All right. Good night. Hail victory. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break and look at the chat. I end up having a full hour. This is the world of Command Dork Mathag. A dirty tubal can IQ boy Mamzer fag. Effects of Mamzer ask galore. It's for wife, is a whore. For so says the brag of McFag. On the asses of them kikes is McFag. The pixie tongue's ass to mouth it does wag. With this cucker in its hand, it can come on any man. For so says the brag of McFag. Fucking and sucking and jubus and biting McFag does all is true. Yapping and crapping and cutting and blinking, McFag is a Jew. Doping and yapping with pecker or flapping and sticking to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, McFag will keep yapping. McCandirk McFag comes through. This is the world of Commandirk McFag. A double tubal can I tube or Mamzer fag. He sucks of Mamzer's galore. It's for wife is a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. This is the world of Commandirk McFag. A dirty tubal can I tube or Mamzer fag. McFag will do anything. If he brains says it's a king. Or so says the brag of McFag. Alright, we're back again. It's around a little bit after 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And what I was trying to go ahead and get Russ to admit, and he pretty well admitted it, is that Crohn's is a marker of being a Jew. If you end up having Crohn's disease, it's because you're a Jew. It's essentially Jew ascades. You used to call it Jew ass cancer. I'm going to call it Jew ascades. Alex Linder got Crohn's. Legal Mamzer 2012 Johns has Crohn's. He's a Jew. Daddy's a Jew. From New Jersey. Don Brown's wife is a Jew. She got Crohn's. And for all these people talking against Jews, you end up having poor old Legal Mamzer way back Saturday night. Legal Man 2012 at 8:16. But I definitely want to try everything under Yahweh's sun in his created world before I say yes to these doctors taking any part of my bowel out. And very much what happens, Legal Mamzer understands, is that he has a Jew disease. Him and the rest of them, him and Don Brown cannot stop talking about their Jew ass gaze here. At the very end of the show here, he said, Yeah, I know. I'm praying, buying lotto tickets from time to time, and trying to get into this natural products business up and running. And he goes ahead and says, yep, you're ahead of me now. Then William Fink says, ha, kind of, LOL. So Finkelstein doesn't know when he's going to go ahead and have ass cancer too. Matt and Cheryl, which is Mrs. Matt Twat Zogbot, says, it will get better, honey. So in short, this Wigger trash, this Wigger skank who's screwing this drunken Zogbot, is telling the Jew boy it will get better. No, Jew boy, it will not get better. Contrary to old Matt Twat Zogbot, whose daddy was a federal agent, and Matt Twat Zogbot, who likes going ahead with Brian Rio, talking about how big and bad he is and trying to go ahead and troll and get other people put in jail when himself is put into prison because he likes drinking and driving four or five times to where now he's a felon. Legal man said, I used to have a nice job, got 8 to 9 hours overtime every week. William Fink, I have faith, my darling. That's probably, Matt Twat Zogbot saying that. Legal man said, I love the job. Glad to know they just said reapply when I'm all better. Yeah, come back better, Jew boy, here, when your little ass, your little Jew ass gades is better here. And I'll go ahead and put out an awful lot of whining over a sick titling with Jew ass cancer, if you ask me here. Well, you had old Mona Montgomery there as well. And she was just being a, total tard, of course. But then again, she's just a goofy old skank. Someone went and pointed out the reason she's a skank, she's a silly old skank, is that she aborted her kids here, one of her children. She had an abortion. And that probably made her goofier, but I think she was goofy to start with. What gets me is for all these people who talk and scream about Jews, here you end up having, oh, it'll get better, darling. Folks, I don't call a Jew darling. A Jew is not darling to me. Might be to Mrs. Matt Twat Zogbot. I mean, Finkelstein, he, of course, is going to be nice to his fellow kike because, shoot, he could get, Jew-ass cancer. Eli James, at the same time, when I was going ahead and making fun of McFag that night, he went ahead and blocked all the guests because McFag didn't like me getting on his case. Let's see, what was I saying here? Rabbi Eli, he went ahead and banned all the guests, and then you had Rabbi Eli says, you don't want to be family to McFag Steve Elder, son of the, he called him son of the myth, I call him son of the bitch. Or son of the Belial. He's a Jew with Jew ass cancer, Crohn's. And then I went ahead and played the last movement turd. We started out with a song about McFag here. This is the world of Commander McFag. And there was some of a crappy one song, but hey, here is son of the mess. He's more and more idiotic. He was yapping about imprecatory prayer, and I said, hey, look, Jew boy, I'm eating Mexican food with homegrown chilies, and what you're doing is you're eating pap and shitting into a colostomy bag. What are you going to do, McFag? Go ahead and beat me over the head with your colostomy bag? And McFag did not like that. He whined and whined and whined. And Friday night, Saturday night, Eli eventually banned all the guests, so what happens is that I logged in as Rabbi Eli and flash trolled. Go ahead and write stuff in, go ahead and write about 150 characters, including this link, on Notepad, and then I go ahead and log in, paste it, and then log out before Eli could go ahead and see it. And then once I logged out, he couldn't go ahead and block Rabbi Eli. But that's what I did over this weekend. And people say, well, that's sort of screwed up about you here. And then the answer is no. I don't think it's screwed up at all.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit.
But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old House CP. So how's gonna be my dick swigger, bitch? Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggin' fox, bitches, tickles, and cocksuck. The colostomy bag's name is VNL. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miss Goober Lil Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that nigga was East Molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebeller while you can.
Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and go to a different portion. I'm going to go ahead and talk about April Gady and how there is no white unity. Now, April Gady recently, and pretty well Harold Covington's Colonel House was bitching about it. From what I gather, old April Gady, ever since April, has been getting all huffy about Harold Covington and his videos. And during the last week or so, I end up going ahead and having my, well, my Dick Welty persona blocked and banned over on Spermfront. Now, I'd had that sock puppet for about a year, and pretty well what they said was, you went ahead and looked for a year, and you're supporting HC, which means Harold Covington. And April has gotten all freaking goofy. All freaking goofy over this crap here. So, oh, April goes ahead, and this is around on the 13th or so. 13th, 14th, and 15th. Let me go ahead and post this thing so you can go ahead and look at what happened with Spermfront. Well, I don't think her kids turned on her, and the reason they didn't turn on her, maybe they did turn on her. They got tired of Mama the attention whore essentially using them and using their little mediocre talent to go ahead and be something that they're really not here. She tried to raise some white nationalists. We've already gone ahead and talked about how we shouldn't go ahead and get after April through her kids, and I agree with that here. I'm not going to go ahead and wish that her, you know, her little lynxkins and lambkins go ahead and turn out to be mud sharks. I really hope they don't. But April Gady, for all peck purposes, has been nothing more than just a drama queen and attention whore. And by whore, I mean a slut. Pretty well screwing anything with a dick. And from what I gather, she's all mad because I've been calling her a slut and a whore over on Hunter Wallace's. And she went ahead and repeated what old Finkelstein said, wrote about me on Zogbots. And I went ahead and chewed on her ass and said she's going ass to mouth with a Jew over nothing. But last April, she got all mad at Harold Covington. And folks, the only reason I can think of her being, you know, why she'd be mad at Harold Covington is because she is jealous of Harold Covington. Now, Harold Covington has quite a few people from what I gather, including, you know, Colonel House, based in Kalispell, Montana. Now, I don't know if this Carl Garst is with Harold Covington. I tend to, think that he isn't, because he has his own Christian identity thing here. Before I get out, old Carl Garst doesn't really mind Harold Covington and his bunch. From my gallery, he doesn't fight with them. He does his own thing, and I probably think that probably Harold Covington has enough sense not to go ahead and interfere with Christian identity up, with Carl Garst here. But Carl Garst went ahead and found out was being written about Corn Cob. He went ahead and had a number of pithy things to say about Corn Cob. He thinks April Gady is an ADL twat here. He thinks she's an ADL Zogbot. She thinks that Corn Cob is an ADL twat here. And essentially, he had a big old fight, and it was reported that Carl Garst tried to convert Corn Cob to Christian identity. And from what I gather, he didn't do any such thing. He just sort of doesn't much care for Corn Cob's creatarded blasphemies and, talking about dead Jew on a stick here. And essentially, he didn't much care for that. And he thinks that old Corn Cob had something to do with old Keith Harpham getting sent to jail. So he thinks Corn Cob, Craig Cobb, or Corn Cob as I call him, is a Zogbot. And I don't know. But from what I gather, what you have in Kalispell is you end up having about three factions. One is April Gates. One is Colonel House. And then you have, Carl Garst and whatever Christian identity people that he has, which go ahead and show up to his films. And I think it pretty well came to a fight over who is going to go ahead and show the films or whatever. But April has been acting all squirrely ever since, April and May. And she was pissing and moaning about Harold Covington's attack video with yet IRA going ahead and killing all these here, imperial pigs. And folks, I'm not big on hibernator bullshit here. Really ain't. But on the other hand, it's like this. I like listening to Harold Covington's Northwest Republic, radio podcast. And if I don't agree with him, I just don't agree with him. I just say, whatever. I mean, you have some good days, you have some bad days, Harold. I mean, I don't really find anything that threatens Christian identity. If I'm like, Carl Garst doesn't either. But Carl Garst essentially is doing his Christian identity thing, and from what I gather, he's not fighting with Harold Covington. He's not fighting with Colonel House or anything like that. He may be buddy-buddies with him. Chances are, I think he isn't. Because most of Christian identity is sort of neutral to Covington. Some are a little bit negative neutral. Some of them, like me and Pastor John Britton, are positive neutral. Although we don't all together agree with Harold Covington. We don't believe that there's going to be any successful rebellion against Zog Babylon, but rather Zog Babylon is going to go ahead and collapse. But as a result of all this fussing and fighting, all this petty horseshit, you go ahead and you have another little character called Muljor. His actual name is Scott Muljor Ernest here, and he looks sort of like a young Covington here. He's sort of plump. He got a whole bunch of hair and a little Trotsky beard and all this sort of shit here. And I think he's just a young doofus of about 30-some years old who hasn't had pussy since pussy had him and is hoping to go ahead and get some pussy off of April Grady or maybe Lynx Ken or Lambkin or whatever here. And essentially, here he was over on Sperm Front bitching and pissing and moaning about how we cannot go ahead and support Covington's Northwest Front. Anything promoting Covington will be banned. And here it is for these people talking about how they want to have their little pioneer, little Europes. And Harold Covington has pretty well talked about how you go ahead and have them. They're easy to find. They don't support each other. And essentially, it's just a whole bunch of wiggers wanting to be the big frog in a little pond here. I've seen that in the Libertoons and the rest here. But April Gady's problem with Harold Covington, I think, is based upon nothing other than just simply petty-minded jealousy. You end up having Hatting and Wiggerswill going ahead, attaboy, attagirl, whatever, April, Hatting especially. And folks, Hatting Heading, I think, is a faggot. He's just a little, what I used to call him the little loveless matoid meerkat. His problem with Covington, from what I gather, is that Covington said a bunch of bad stuff about Kevin Alfred Strom, and essentially Kevin Alfred Strom, the little weenie, is Hattie's big buddy, and that's, you know, and since Steele went ahead and said some bad stuff about, you know, Kevin Strom, essentially that's why he's mad at, you know, Edgar Steele. Hattie, his number one hate is Covington. His number two hate is Edgar Steele's guilty, 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 guilty. Now, folks, why in the world, even if you did believe Edgar Steele was guilty, why do you need to go ahead and support Zog? Why do you need to go ahead and do that stupid shit for? Why is that even remotely necessary? And the answer is it's not. Anyway, before I had this call here, it was somebody wanting to know the finer points of crock-pot cookery. You know, and anyway, I went ahead and explained to him is that, hey, you can almost never screw up. In crock-pot cookery, just put it on the low setting and let it cook for about 8 hours, and you're not going to go ahead on, you know, if you put it on the low setting for 8 hours, whatever you put in there, as long as you keep plenty of liquid in it, you cannot ever go wrong with crock-pot cookery. Just put it on. Put it on low. Make sure you got plenty of liquids in it, and you can't burn it. You know, using crock pot cookery, all it'll do is just simmer and simmer and simmer and simmer. You know, at a approximately about 180 degrees. You know, around, you know, not quite boiling. Essentially, all the juices will go ahead and mix together here. So you can't screw up crock pot cookery as long as you put it on low. Okay. Anyway, where was I? April, for all pack purposes, you go ahead and look at it here. Here she goes on 10-13, bitching. Actually, I fell into a trap of the idea the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Everyone knows there's no loss between myself and Will Williams. But I never thought that Will was John Doe number two, or that William Pierce was a federal agent, or that, you know, Klassen was a child molester. I thought because we both dislike Will, there was a reasonable meeting of the minds. Now I know better. I'm still not a friend of Will's, but I do know that Will's claims about Hack are real, and they are warnings that needs to be heeded. And folks, nobody believed that Will Williams, Wiggerswill, was John Doe number two. I certainly didn't believe it. Wiggerswill is a complete chicken shit. I think Wiggerswill is a Zogbot, and I've said several times that William Pierce was essentially, you know, a part of Zog, because Zog knew dang well he got $400,000 or $300,000 of order money. And that Ben Klassen, you know, I think Ben Klassen was indeed a Jew. I think he was sort of like the Richard Baron of his day. He liked having that Aryan input himself here. So, no, I don't have much use for Klassen here. He was just a, you know, dead Jew on a dick. He went ahead, you know, he was a self-loathing Jew who went ahead and created this creativity, which is not really about whites, it's about Anglo-Mestizos. Urban, skinhead Anglo-Mestizos. And Covington may be wanting to go ahead and get in well with creatards, but the thing about it is creatards are just nothing but chaos and trouble and Anglo-Mestizo horseshit waiting to happen. Urban, skinhead Anglo-Mestizo horseshit waiting to happen. And, folks, Christian Dane doesn't need that shit. You know, there has always been a disconnect between creatards and, you know, creatards and Christian Dante. Now, way back in the day, I used to have, you know, back when Hill of the Ravens came out, me and a bunch of Christian Dane people had problems with Covington writing what he went ahead and wrote. And since then, Covington has learned quite a bit not to piss us off. Essentially, he's very, very careful. He's very, very careful not to piss us off anymore. But I like books number two, A Distant Thunder, A Mighty Fortress, The Brigade. I like them a lot better. And I'm not going to like book number 5, Freedom Sons, as much because, well, by going ahead and saying what he thinks is going to happen, it might very well, it's not exactly our view of what's going to happen in the future. You know, books number 2, 3, and 4 were about killing Zoglings and Zog pigs and the rest here and niggers. Why, hey, there was nothing to dislike about that here. But book number 5, and what I've looked is that Harold Covington has been careful about Christian identity sensibilities. So as a result, Christian identity is largely neutral to Harold Covington. Sometimes it's a little bit negative neutral. Sometimes, in my case, it's positive neutral. I don't have a problem because Harold Covington is trying to go ahead and do something. He's trying to actually build an organization. And as a result of this horseshit, which occurred last week, you end up having even Cuntier Wallace. He wants to go ahead and build a Southeast Republic with Alabama and, you know, convincing the niggers to go back to picking cotton under white overseers, you know, so that Cuntiers, you know, rich whites can go ahead and drink mint and tulips and essentially, you know, deal with niggers as darkies here, and I don't think that's going to happen. You know, in fact, I sort of support a Southeast imperative to where if we could go ahead and have peace, ship all the damn niggers to Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, you know, places not fit for a white person, and let them go ahead and fight with the damn Cubans over South Florida. You know, it doesn't really matter if they kill each other. But here she is going ahead and saying, I wrongly chose to ignore the parts of Harold's claims that I knew to be false. Instead, thought I could get my own connections with him to promote the Northwest migration. I was wrong. You lie down with dogs and you get fleas. Well, you lie down with April here, you're going to get something worse than fleas here. You might end up getting herpes here. I mean, I'd rather have a flea or two. I get a flea or two from Poopy Dog here. Well, I don't get herpes from flea, you know, from Poopy Dog. But I don't know if old April has herpes or not. Let's not say she does here. But folks, April is a drama queen. And essentially, she don't like Axis Sally because I think she's younger, her tits are firmer, her twat's probably tighter. And folks, April doesn't produce anything. All she does is produce trouble and drama. But going on, I'm working hard to get rid of fleas, Northwest Front members that I attracted when I was letting myself be connected with Covington. Meanwhile, because of this, I have myself become a victim of Harold's lies. He has added me to a list of people he makes BS about and telling people that I'm working for the feds. Well, Carl Garth thinks you're working for the feds. Well, is Carl Garth of Covington flunky? And the answer is, I doubt it. Folks, that's Christian identity. We essentially do what we want. I mean, I'm not really a Covington, you know, I'm a Covington supporter, but I'm not a Covington follower. Okay? But on the other hand, if I believe in 10,000 Warlords, the 10,000 Warlords Project, why should I be annoyed at Harold Covington wanting to go ahead and have 1,000 of them? I don't believe that what Carol Covington really wants is possible, but on the other hand, I do appreciate his hard work. April Gage, little thing, she has 4 or 5 little tars, including this little asswipe here who supports censorship of somebody else here. You end up going ahead and saying, well, you've got more benefit from association to you than vice versa here. And then you have this Norwegian bird, you know, she's Sigrid on White News Now. And folks, people go ahead and give themselves names like Norwegian Beauty or Sigrid. A lot of time, I got to think, they're just like Jews who run around on these forums, like on VNNF, with a little Hitler avatar or a Rudolf Hess avatar or whatever here. Jews like pretend to be Nazis. Harold Covington's pointed that out. Well, folks, if you end up seeing a critter with a Nazi avatar, chances are it's a Jew, wanting to pretend to be a big Nazi. But here's no reason, a little waste of time here. Well, anyway, from what I gather, over on Jamie Kelso. They're bitching and pissing and moaning that Jamie Kelso is not deleting or scrubbing Hill Covington stuff here. But from my gear, April is demanding censorship. But here's Hadding, and Norwegian Beauty Sigrid says, funny you should mention that. Both you and Covington were banned from that site. Strange, and that was some time ago. He doesn't have free reign, and April can tell you about it. She's a moderator there. We deleted any and all posts as well as got rid of the sorry ass. Tell me about what white nationalist website, small or big, that Covington has free reign on. Why wouldn't you focus your energy on that? Or does he not have free reign on many sites? Is he on Stormfront, and what's the screen name on here? By the way, self-indulgence extremism gets you nowhere. If you can direct me to where somewhere that type of thinking, talk, agitation, and or activism doing well, let me know. And what happens is that she ends up bitching, and Hadding wiggles and bitches to her. But what you end up having is you have all these tards, all these retards, going ahead, essentially, being in favor of censorship. Because that's exactly what the hell they're for. That is exactly what the hell they are for. So, pretty well, they end up closing the thread at about, what, 115. My big fight, where I end up going ahead and getting banned for supporting Covington. Well, I end up going ahead as John Reltney getting banned. Oh, by the way, we end up having a little bit of a low power thing because it's raining here. But where I end up going ahead and getting banned was, you don't sound like you're the neutral party, and old Hadding figured out it was Martin Lindstedt. And so I got banned on Spermfront. Folks, here you have these so-called white nationalist sites. And what do? Is that their little tards practice censorship. It's just like Hill Covington went ahead. I have a thread called the Bulletin Forums, bowel movement forums. Essentially, that's exactly what it is. You have wiggers who got to go ahead and censor anybody else who doesn't think like them. They've got to go ahead and fight and censor. Now, is there any reason to go ahead and censor Hale Covington material? And the answer is no. I don't see any valid reason to censor anything. But here these people are. They whine like pussies about Jew censorship, and yet they practice it themselves. Can you say hypocrisy? Now, in the case of Eli James, and William Fink and Brian Reel going ahead and censoring me and kicking me off TalkShoe. Folks, I understand that. And the answer I understand is because they're Jews. That's exactly what Jews do. But when you have wiggers acting no different than Jews, what you end up having is you have the very basis of the problems that we have. The very basis of the problems. These little pioneer little Europes here with April Gady having three or four little tards who essentially, like this Ernest Mulger, or, like the Scott Mulger Ernest, some little wigger tard who has not had pussy since pussy had him, and hoping to go ahead and get some off of April or Linskins or Lambkins. Folks, you gotta understand is that, shoot, our own daughters have gotten tired of mommy's horse shit. Gotten tired of mommy trying to go ahead and use them to go ahead and make herself, queen shit in her own little farm pond. And folks, this April, April, you whine ever since April and May, you whine about Covington going ahead and blocking you on his sites, and Colonel House going ahead and making fun of you. And yet here you are on Spermfront and White News Now going ahead and censoring Hadding, censoring, Wiggerswill, censoring Covington. Folks, when you end up having Whiggers going ahead and sitting on each other and acting like Jews to each other, and then you wonder why that you're not accomplishing anything. Because, folks, it's not the white race which comes first. It's your own little ego. It's your own little, you know, silliness. Now, do I think April Gady is a federal informant like Carl Garst does? The answer is I don't. No, I don't. I think she's just a self-indulgent, stupid old cunt who essentially has never gotten over the fact that, hey, she used to be providing pussy to the multitudes over at William Pierce's. And at the time, she sort of thought she could go ahead and get, well, pretty well, stay in front of the parade in Kalispell. And then she found out that Harold Covington essentially wasn't interested in having her lead the parade and say, yes, April, no, April, three fucking bags full, April. And essentially, she chose that time to go ahead and bitch and piss and moan about, well, Harold Covington. Folks, having a bunch of, you know, dysfunctional Whigger fucktards go ahead and suck up to you is not going to go ahead and get you anywhere, April. Not going to go ahead and, you know, get it all here. And yes, you cannot put women in charge of anything. Folks, an incompetent man will usually make far less of a muck-up than a woman who thinks she's the smartest ever of anything. So, I mean, yes, I do think she's for real, but she's just simply an ignorant twat who got to go ahead and get in trouble. Are we going to talk about Ephraim Scepter? No. So, in any case, here she is. Here she is wanting to go ahead and, well, essentially you end up having on White News Now, Harold Covington being on, well, pretty well being on the endangered feces list over on White News Now. And why is that? And the answer is that there's no reason for that. All these little bitty little tard corrals, like April's little tard corral. April and three or four tards playing white supremacists in Kalispell, going ahead and fighting with, you know, Carl Garst because he doesn't like her, trust her, don't want anything to do with her. Fighting with the local Christianity element, fighting with the local Covington element, is not going to go ahead and accomplish anything. Now, I don't have any control over Carl Garst, but from my gather, Covington is not having a problem with Carl Garst here. Carl Garst has a problem with April Gady. Carl Garst has a problem with Corn Cob. Brian Gary doesn't have a problem with, you know, Covington. Now, maybe he essentially is going to do his thing, and Covington's going to go ahead and have his Colonel House and the rest do their thing. And that's fine. But, essentially it seems to me that Colonel House ends up having far more sense here, and this whining about, you know, I got an email. Here is April Gady essentially claiming that these women in Oregon at Coffee Creek or something like that were being used by Harold Covington. Well, April, you live in Montana. What the hell say do you have about it? What the hell say do you have about it? The answer is that, hey, no, you don't represent anybody on yourself and your own little tards. If you want to go ahead and censor somebody else, you want to go ahead and censor Harold Covington, that's fine, but how the hell is it going ahead and creating a future for our, you know, how is it going ahead and creating a homeland for our people and a future for white children? How does it do that here? Whenever April Gady gets involved in something, usually it ends up being a complete screw-up. And someone said, well, you know, April said that her husband's going to beat you up, Lynn said, for what you've been saying about it recently. Well, the answer is I don't think April's little meerkat's going to go ahead and do anything to me any more then Clint Downey's little meerkat Mark is going to go ahead and do about me. Because the fact of the matter is that some stupid skank who goes ahead and chooses a weak-minded meerkat for no other reason than because she can control him, is that, folks, she doesn't have a man to whom I need to go in and be worried about anything. She has a little pussified meerkat. A little critter here with his little head sticking out her twat with a little head bobbling like a chicken head. Says, yeah, yes, dear, no, dear, please let me have some pussy. I'm pussy whipped. That's not somebody you need to be scared of. Folks, women in Christian identity, you know, women in real Christian identity do not rule. They might, like my grandmother, be the ones who do the, you know, thinking, but they do not rule. They do not rule the roost here. Now, folks, if you end up living with a woman, you can't go ahead and be a total tyrant. But on the other hand, I mean, there's not a woman who isn't bred here who doesn't like to go ahead and bitch. I'm sort of reminded the other day, Roxy went ahead and wanted me to go ahead and get her some Sun Chips. And she goes ahead and she opens a bag of Sun Chips and says, well, you know, do you like them here? She hands them to me here. And I was thinking, women have not changed a bit since Eve went ahead and supposedly offered an apple, although that wasn't really what it was, to Adam. Yeah, you want to eat, honey? Oh, please, you love me. You'll go ahead and eat what I eat. It's just so special. Folks, it is built into a woman to want to go ahead and do that. It's built into a woman to want to bitch and to nag. And, folks, it's up to you as a man to go ahead and say, well, okay, yes, woman, I am listening to you. Yes, woman, you have nagged me and nagged me and nagged me, and now I'm paying attention to you. And I'll either go ahead and grant what you want, or I won't. Let's not hear another word about it here, because you either get what you want, or you won't. But essentially, it's for the man to go ahead and decide. That's the way it is in real Christian identity. That's the way it is even without Christian identity when you are a white man. You don't go ahead and use or abuse your females like niggers and chinks and the muds do, like Indians do. To where essentially the male bucks are just worthless for anything other than fighting and screwing. But on the other hand, you know, white men actually work. Because that is pretty well what has been laid upon you as a man. Because you know, Adam went ahead and let his pussy get him into trouble. And folks, you are supposed to be the head of your household. And I mean the real head of your household. You're the one who holds the ultimate veto. But on the other hand, you do not go ahead and there's no need. If you're a critter who goes ahead and has to beat a woman, it just simply means that you aren't much of a man. You know, Wiggerswill goes ahead, supposedly. Wiggerswill, so like Buffalo Bill, he beats his humps. You know, so I don't take Wiggerswill. I mean, Wiggerswill's just a whiny little pussy. Hattie's a whiny little pussy. He's whining for me to be censored. It's listed! It's listed! It's listed! He does that on 405 Thieves here. On VNNF, Hattie is allowed to run wild and talk about how Edgar Steele is guilty. He was kicked off way back when, 5 days after Edgar Steele got found guilty, he was allowed back on. Now I've gotten a response from the Free Edgar Steele people, and what they want, they're wanting to ask about this interview. Well, folks, what this interview is, it's not about what the government has done to Edgar Steele. It's about what we as white people need to do against this foreign Jew government. I believe the Uyghurs and Uyghur spawn need to die. And that's why this great tribulation is around. And I'm going to go ahead and answer this little meerkat that is running the Free Edgar Steele thing. I mean, is Edgar Steele still believing that he can whine his way to freedom, whine his way to have Zog obey the constipation bill of goods? And the answer is, well, if Edgar Steele really believes that. I've gone ahead and listened to the last, couple things here, and Edgar Steele said, "Yo, Judge Windmill, I'm screwed. Please have mercy, please have mercy, please have mercy. I don't want to fight anymore." Well, folks, I've heard that quite a bit when I was in jail. You have people thinking that they can go ahead and make a bargain with Zog. You can go ahead and make a plea with Zog, and Zog will go ahead because it's best that Zog not annoy people and that Zog be overthrown. I'm tired of being in jail. I'll go ahead and grant whatever you want. And folks, that's not what I end up doing. I never showed anything but contempt and hatred for Zog. I don't go ahead and dwell about the doping and the torture and the rest of the child stealing because, hey, as I look at it, hey, I intend to go ahead and dish out to Zog far worse than what Zog dished out to me. And if they can't go ahead and stand, the skinning, and they can't go ahead and stand the gelding and the blinding and the castration and the, and the grinding into, dog meat, well, hey, like you so sanctimoniously say, if you cannot do the time and you cannot pay for the crime, if you cannot go ahead and endure the moral short-selling when it comes time for me to go ahead and collect on vengeance, well, maybe you shouldn't go ahead and let Jews and Mamzers and Wiggers run wild. To me, there's no such thing as anything other than sides. And that's what I'm going to go ahead and go ahead and tell this free Edgar Steele administrator, Robert Magnuson, and Cindy Steele. Essentially, any debate isn't about whether Edgar Steele is innocent. I believe Edgar Steele is innocent. The answer is, what do we do when Zog goes ahead and destroys our families, when Zog goes ahead and destroys our lives? Edgar Steele, I think, has still not gotten over the fact that he used to be a lawyer and that he's special. He still thinks he's special. And that if he goes ahead and asks and begs and pleads, that we're going to go ahead and get something from Zog. Just like Hunter Wallace and the rest of these tards think that we can go ahead and form a little pioneer, little Europe here and have somewhere between a cross between Randy Weaver and David Koresh. We can sell something, between, Randy Weaver wanting to just move his family out of Zog's hands and David Koresh wanting to move. We're going to have somewhere between Randy Weaver and David Koresh is the thing where Zog will not go ahead and destroy our pioneer little Europes. Like Hill Covington saying, well, how well did that work out for Randy Weaver? Randy and Sarah Weaver. How well did that work out for them? How well did that work out for David Koresh? How well did that work out for him? As I remember, they ended up being put under siege in that here. I don't think all April's little wiggers said, well, I just believe in trying to get me some pussy from April, and maybe I can go ahead and get me seconds here from Lynxkin and Lambkin here when they go to college, and hopefully they won't go ahead and go into mudsharkery. I really go ahead and I'm just in it for the pussy. How well is that going to work here? That's what gets me about this bowel movement. You have all these intellectuals, Greg Johnson, Kevin McDonald, Hunter Wallace. You have all these creatards. You have these so-called Aryan nations, Anglo Mestizo, thinking that they go ahead and whine to the Jews in the state capital that somehow we're going to go ahead and have our own little homeland somewhere. Hopefully where I live here so I won't have to move very far. We're going to go ahead and have that here. It's just going to go ahead and give to us here. And one thing I've sort of understood during the last week or so is that Harold Covington, now you have a bunch of the intellectuals talking about an ethno-state, but Harold Covington has actually been working on it, actually really more like a dozen years instead of 10. But let's say 10 years. Because the first couple of years, essentially, was just going ahead and setting himself up in the Northwest. But let's say you go ahead, and over the past, really, where he's gotten the most traction has been, well, his Radio Free Northwest. That's where it's beginning to go ahead and get some traction. That's where he's getting some traction. So anyway, if you're an intellectual and you decide you're going to go ahead and have an ethno state, wherever the hell you live at, be it North or South Dakota, be it Alabama, be it New England, be it wherever. Now, do you think that's going to happen overnight? Do you think that Harold Covington has, you know, has had anything other than a 10-year head start in doing what needs to be done? The answer, of course, he has here. Now, folks, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with Harold Covington's Northwest. There's somebody here who, well, he decided to go ahead and follow his dream, and he moved to the Northwest from somewhere in the Midwest. And I certainly never discouraged him from doing so, because I think he can find Yahweh where he's at now. Just the same as he could find in the rest. He can go ahead and look after himself in the Northwest. He can go ahead and become part of a community of like-minded believers in the Northwest, just like he could in the North, just like he could in the Midwest. I don't have a problem with, I'm not threatened by Harold Covington. Me and Harold Covington are two different men here. And what I do, Harold Covington is not going to do. That's why, I remember, seven, 8 years ago, talking to Jim Floyd. He said, well, I can't write like you, Martin. He said, no one can. But on the other hand, you can't write like me. This is when Michael Hoffman was talking about how we needed to support these professional writers here. We didn't need no jackleg writers here. And essentially what Michael Hoffman did is that he had about 2,000 men on, 2,000 names on his email list. He got all mad. He was asking people to send him money, and nobody, only 8 people sent him as little as $8 or more. He was looking for a brand new computer monitor. This was way back in 1997, 1998. And Jim Floyd said, we need more gut writers. We need people who really mean it, not professional writers like Michael Hoffman, who used to write for the New York Times. Well, big freaking deal. And essentially Hoffman was pretty well pissed off at me because, hey, he decided he was going to go ahead and fight with me, and I just ripped him a whole new one. Folks, everybody who is anybody in this movement, and this bow movement of ours, is very much like essentially a bunch of competing warlords. That's exactly what it is. April's complaint isn't really about, April's complaint really isn't logically about what direction white nationalism will take, because white nationalism doesn't have any direction. It has about a dozen or so different people here. You have creatards, you have Christian Dandy, and now Christian Dandy has become nothing more than wall-to-wall mamsers and zogbots and the rest here. There is no overall direction of white nationalism. It's about everybody running to and fro, just like a bunch of wiggers, doing whatever the hell they want to. April's problem was essentially she couldn't get to go ahead and tell other people what to do in Kalispell. So what she's doing is she's getting people taken off of Sperm Front, and she's getting people taken off of White News Now, and taken off of VNNF. And essentially doing whatever the hell she wants to do. And essentially, when it comes down to it, essentially, she's just a stupid cunt who has nothing better to do than go ahead and try to, tell other people what to do. And most people don't much care for that stupid shit, okay? Most people don't much care to put up with this shit. So anyway, it's, 11 o'clock? I think I've been yakking for about 40 minutes here. But that's what gets me about our wonderful little bowel movement. It's just so dysfunctional. It's so screwed up. Well, folks, I mean, I've never seen a reason for, essentially, if you don't like what Covington does, just don't listen to him. Me, I like listening to Covington. I don't have to agree with him 100%. I'm not going to move to the Northwest myself. But on the other hand, I don't have any problem. Folks, you can be Christian identity in the Northwest. Now, if I was Covington, I'd go ahead and get rid of McFag Steve Eller, because McFag Steve Eller is a Jew and looks sort of stupid with all your bitching about, against Jews here, not to get rid of McFag, and the rest of these Mamsers. But hey, that's up to Covington to go ahead and tend his own garden. Not for me. On the other hand, I still love making fun of Matt Cogwheeloff and a bunch of these, idiotic homos and creatards and retards and rejects. I love making fun of them. And what Al Covington has learned is that, hey, he cannot go ahead and grant any of his underlings absolute power, because he can't trust them to go ahead and not censor, not go ahead and ban or do whatever they want to others here. That's why Harold Covington has a problem, in that there's a lot of belief that if he died tomorrow, that pretty well this Northwest Imperative would pretty well die out. And what he's trying to do is that he is trying to go ahead and look for a successor. Now, I get the feeling that he can't find one. I don't know what shape he's in or anything like that here. He's talking about being rounded up by the men in the silk suits. And that's a possibility. That's a possibility that all of us must live with. And that Zog will go ahead and panic and immediately start killing and jailing under whatever reason. Because, hey, folks, they went ahead and murdered this raghead who essentially had not committed any crime. All he did was get tired of being used by Zog as a moderate cleric and find out that his people were being murdered for no other reason than money for big oil and because big Jews wanted him to go ahead and be murdered. And that's what he was murdered for. He didn't commit any crime. He was just simply cold-bloodedly murdered by a drone a week or two ago. And here you have, essentially, all these little politicians yak about how they're going to go ahead and save things. Folks, if you were to go ahead and put all the Wall Street Jews if you were to go ahead and execute all the Wall Street Jews, just go ahead and put a bolt in their head, and then all the Uyghurs, send them to prison, send them to prison, breaking rocks for the rest of their lives and their families, and let's simply let these big banks go bankrupt, like they should, and then letting the ones which are well-run, your regional banks, like Arvest here, which is pretty well an offshoot of Walmart, you pretty well let your regional banks, which are being run fairly efficiently, you still have banking. You just wouldn't have the same Jew-run banks here. But are they going to do that? The answer is no. They're going to go ahead and accept more and more money. The Republicans are going to go ahead and pass another free trade agreement, which means more and more jobs shipped overseas. And that's the way it's going to be. Not going to change. Folks, there is no cure for what ails Zog. None whatsoever. So, folks, make your own peace and fear and trembling as best you can. Oh, yeah, well, North Dakota has its own state bank. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we might end up having another segment, and we might not here. We'll see. So, folks, hail victory.
hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, hail him who saved you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Let every Aryan of every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and hail him, Lord God of all. To him all majesty ascribe and hail him, Lord God of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all. We'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick do-over of Romans chapter 9. Well, I'm the best cyberbully. Well, it looks like a nice Moisen Nagant here, okay? Alrighty, here. Well, I used to know this guy at the Nut House, called him Biker Bob, and he used to, they used to be a little bit affiliated with old Charles Manson here. Alright, Romans chapter 9. Now, you have Paul, I'm going to start the first verse. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also is bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. That, in verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite, just like most of Jesus Christ's disciples were from Galilee, and they were mainly Benjamites. Mainly Benjamites. And that's pretty well where Paul came from. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was not of the tribe of Levi. He used to, like a number of people, started out with the Pharisees, like some of them, just like the ones who start out with the Tea Party, thinking that they are helping their people, and not realizing these Pharisees were pretty well already long ago. Well, they were long ago taken over by Edomites and Jews, who essentially used the law of Moses to go ahead and bring in their own little man-made oral traditions of men. And Paul was an enemy of Christ and the early Christians. He had gone ahead and stoned to death Stephen, who was Judas Iscariot's replacement. He'd gone ahead and essentially judicially murdered Stephen. Righteous Stephen. Here he was. I mean, he used to be a Talmudist, a proto-Talmudist. Used to be a stickler for the traditions of men that Jesus Christ ridiculed so much. These non-Levites who really had no portion, in the religious, teaching and preaching and sacrifices, essentially what they were is they were going in following the traditions of men. Believing the Pharisees is that there was life after death, where the Sadducees did not believe in it. And the original religion of the Israelites didn't hold in life after death, that if you were good, you would go in and go to heaven. After death, no, it said that if you obeyed the law of Yahweh, you would have a good life upon this earth. So he was a Pharisee, and he understood the difference between that. He saved his life from being judged on the spot by slipping up and acts a controversy between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Essentially, they had a big old fight, and when the fight was pretty well tangled over, he went ahead and said, I'm a Roman citizen, I must be tried by the emperor, not by these Jews, be they Sadducees or Pharisees. But going on, his kingdom, according my kinsmen according to the flesh, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, the birthrights and the covenants, the duties to go ahead and obey the law of Yahweh. Verse 5, whose are the fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Well, Christ, like he said, was only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 6, for as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And folks, you had people who claimed to be of Israel, Edomites who had been brought into the kingdom under the Maccabees, who did not belong there. Verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac thy seed shall be called. We're talking about how the Saxons or the Isaacsons were done, but when you talk about that, the seed of Abraham, you ended up having Ishmael. You ended up having the Midianites from Keturah. And you also had the Edomites, the Esau people. Now, Edomites were known as Edomites. They weren't known as being descended from, as Saxons. Yes, they were of the seed, just like these Pharisees, before John 8:44, where he says, well, we are sons of Esau, and never were we slaves. Well, guess what? The Edomites didn't go down to Egypt and become enslaved. And I was doing a look, and essentially, the rabbinical traditions is that Moses lived around 1391 to about 1200, because he lived 120 years or so. So he would have lived from about 12. The Jews say that he lived between 1391 and 1271, and the Christians believe he lived really around 1400 or so. If you go ahead and look at it, the Israelites would have come into Egypt right around the time of the Hyksos, or the first, I think it was the second dark age of Egypt. But, if you go ahead and look around 1300 or 1400 when Moses showed up, and then 1000 when David reigned, you had these Edomites. They didn't go down to Egypt. They never were slaves. As Jesus Christ when they admitted that, yes, they were of Abraham's seed, but you are not of Abraham's, you are not Abraham's children. And this is where Paul is setting up what he's going to say later. Because he is talking about, yes, Esau was Abraham's seed, but no, he didn't follow the way of Abraham. Because Jesus Christ said, well, if you were really of Abraham, you would do like Abraham did. Yes, you're Abraham's seed, but you're not really Abraham's children, because you do not do what Abraham did. You do evil. Your father is of the devil. And that's where he pretty well put them in the dozens in John 8:44. He knew. He knew where these Pharisees, he knew where these Edomites came from. and I imagine when Paul was a Benjamite who was, you know, running around with these Edomites, he didn't like what Jesus Christ said about his buddies any more than some of the any wiggers on Finkelstein's Black Cloud said about Legal Mans or 2012 having Jew ass cancer, or, you know, what few people remain on Eli James, like what I say about Command Dork Mufag. So as verse 7, near because they are seed of Abraham are they all children, but Isaac thy seed shall be called. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Folks, by then, you know, then we had not gotten our birthright. We were the children. The ancient Israelites were children of the, you know, of the promise, and yes, they're counted for the seed. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10, not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. Verse 11, for the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might be stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Remember Thursday when I was talking about works? Folks, by grace are you saved. It's not so much of works, but of him who calleth. Anyway, Jesus Christ has to call you. He has to be talking to you, and you must listen, and you can only, you know, I mean, like Jesus Christ said, his sheep hear his voice. You can't be a Canaanite sheep. You can't be an Edomite sheep. You can't be an Ashkenazi sheep. In fact, they're not sheep. They're goats. They're the goats of Satan. Going on. Well, this is the word of promise. This time while I come and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10, not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by Father Isaac. Verse 11, okay. I've already covered that here. Verse 12, and said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Because you go ahead and look on, there was a fight in her womb between Esau and Jacob. And it was told us that you have two nations within your womb, and the old elder shall serve the, you know, younger. And who was her favorite? Well, Jacob. Who was Isaac's favorite? Esau. Going on. Now here we're coming to the meat of it. Verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This is where we come to the difference between the Canaanite Sephardic Jew like Eli James and those of us, the true sons of Israel. We're not even talking about the Ashkenazi Jew like Finkelstein. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So in short, is God at fault because he goes ahead and loved Jacob and hated Esau? Like it says in Malachi verse 3, verse 4, for Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Well, folks, how can you go ahead and judge God? Now, so many people who go ahead and pretend to be Christian, they just think that they can play the little game of, I will love God, and he will be like a little puppy dog, he will wag his little tail here, and I'll go ahead and feed him a little cheeseburgers with my great, you know, little dollar meal of my little value, you know, of my love here, and God will just wag his little tail and love me so much here, he'll just be like a little puppy dog. But that's not the way it is. So many people think that they are fooling Yahweh. They're only fooling themselves. But like I said, wiggers are smarter than God and actually dumber than dirt. Going on. Verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Folks, it's by grace are you saved, but you can only get grace if you are the proper race. And then even then, if you're just an ordinary Whigger, like Matthew chapter 13 says, Most of the time you will just die in ignorance. You will have eyes but cannot see, and have ears but cannot hear. Lest you should become converted. Jesus Christ should have to save you. It's Jesus Christ, it's Yahweh who goes ahead and chooses you. You don't get to choose Yahweh or Jesus Christ because, hey, look at my filthy rights. I mean, my great righteousness. And tell Yahweh and Jesus Christ what to do, because they are God and you are not. Verse 16. For it's not of him who wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. It's not up to your works. It's not up to your will. It's not up to whether or not you run after Yahweh or Jesus Christ. But it's God that shows mercy. Verse 17. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name shall be declared throughout all the earth. I believe he's talking about the time of Exodus. Verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will be hardeneth. Well, you go ahead and read where Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. And as a result, they reaped, well, 10 plagues. And they end up still letting off the Egyptians, or the Israelites. They had to leave them loons. Verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, on whom he will be hardened. I already did that. Verse 19. And you'll say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Why is Yahweh having fault with me? Why has he hardened? You know, why has he resisted? Verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And the answer is that you being the clay, you don't get to go ahead and tell the potter what you are going to be made to, into whether it be a chamber pot, or a food serving, or a water serving pot. You don't get to say. The clay doesn't get to tell the potter what to do. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Verse 23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Both these Gentiles were in many cases had Israelite blood in them. And thus, they might have been regular Adamites. They might have been even descended from the Cro-Magnon people who were there before. And it wasn't until they were quickened to be made into Israelites here that they ended up having a soul. But it's up to Yahweh to decide. Verse 25, he said unto Osi, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. Verse 26, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Folks, I sometimes think is that Adam wasn't the very first white man. But you go ahead and read to where, when they did the seizure city of Adamites. Yes, for the first couple of generations they were slaves, but later on they would become Israelites by going ahead and submitting to a besieging Israelite army. And yes, for a while they were slaves, but later on they would become, after a couple of generations, Israelites. Were they Egyptians? Yes. before? Were they the white Edomites descended from Ishmael's daughter? And Esau, yes. But never an Edomite, never a Jew. Never a Manzer. Never a demon. Verse 27, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, therefore the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Folks, we were as of the sands of the sea at one time. But like Elijah said, only a remnant shall be saved. Of around 3 million people who lived at the time of Elijah, 7,000 of them had not bent their knee to Baal. And so, would there not be 700,000 if there were 300 million? If you end up having all things said the same, like when you had 3 million people mixed, Canaanites and the rest, in the land of Israel at the time of Elijah, now you have 300 million in the land between the two oceans, the new promised land. It would seem to me that there might very well be 700,000 who are the remnant who Yahweh may very well save. Verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Folks, this may very well be what ends up happening in this great tribulation to come. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Well, when it comes, there's going to be short work done then. Verse 29, as Esaias, Elijah said before, except for the Lord of Sabaoth has left us a seed, we had been of Sodom and also been made like unto Gomorrah. Well, if there wasn't for this seed, folks, this place is like Sodom and this place is like Gomorrah. It says that in the end times that the men of Sodom will come and judge the Israelites, because yes, they were filthy Sodomites, but they didn't have Jesus Christ to go ahead and teach them to behave. The men of Sodom were not Edomites, they were not Jews, they were just simply a bunch of sinful wiggers who went ahead and got into homosexuality. They got to worshiping their own dick and thinking, oh, they were so righteous here because they were so tolerant. And they looked down upon Lot, and they looked down upon the angels for judging them. How dare these people, how dare these strangers come and judge us for what we want? We just wanted man sex with them. Well, folks, it says the man of Sodom will go ahead and judge your average Quakers then. Folks, they were Quakers then, but they didn't have the benefits of Jesus Christ, did they? Verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Here we have a continuation of essentially Whiggers thinking that because they go ahead and obey the letter of the law, that they are going to go ahead and be saved. And they refuse to understand it, is that for all your works and for all your righteousness is simply nothing more and filthy rags. You've got to be extended grace. You can't go ahead and be self-righteous. Now, what I've seen is a whole bunch of self-righteous mamsers thinking that because they go ahead and obey the law, they're so much better than the actual whites. I've seen people, you know, Brian Real, I've seen Judas the Juice, I've seen a bunch of these Finkel Sheenites coming in and judging me, because I do not call them brother, because they're not my brother. So the stumbling block was going ahead and thinking that your self-righteousness, the works of the law, will save you. And it's not. By grace are you saved, but you cannot get grace unless you are the proper race. Verse 33, as is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Folks, you have to go ahead. And when Christ goes ahead and makes the offer, you have to go ahead and hear and to be saved. And you will not be ashamed in Christ. Christ will not shame you. Only you can go ahead and shame yourself. That's why I've tried to tell a number of people who worry about what people might think of this world. Do not worry about what people might think. Most of them are underbred anyway. Why I tried to tell old Hunter Wallace here, you're the one who goes and embarrasses yourself, not somebody else. Go ahead and live well and have the best reward. In any case, the Pharisees were usually the bad guys, and that's so they were, because what they were is that they, you know, so what were they? They were the Levites who believed in the law. The original law did not promise eternal life. It only promised a good life if you obeyed. The Sadducees were the high priests. But folks, even the Sadducees had, you know, you read in Ezra and Nehemiah to where Moabites, Edomites, Horites, Canaanites got into the high priest family. And Ezra and Nehemiah had to go ahead and drive these people who did not belong, but who claimed to belong, you know, by a long association. He had to drive out these Jews and Wakers and Mamzers. Ezra and Nehemiah had to go ahead and bring these out. Because of the 43,000 some people who returned under Ezra, you had some Babylonians. You had some Jews. And they went ahead and made common cause with these Edomites who were there to go ahead and destroy to where they could not build up the temple, where they could not build the walls. Folks, you've always had Jews, you know, infesting the white man ever since 7,000 years ago. Understand that. That's why I do not worry about Eli James. That's why I do not worry about Ben Fink. Most of my raillery is just mocking, is ridicule. I don't take these people seriously. If you didn't have Jews trying to get in Christianity, that would just mean that, you know, hey, they don't view Christian identity as being dangerous. Well, Zog does view Christianity as being dangerous. That's why they go ahead and give us the Jews and the Mamzers to come in, the Zogbots like Alan Truman, you know, the Mamzers. The Zogbots, the Jews. That's why they try to go ahead and infiltrate us. Because they are scared. They are scared. But folks, don't be afraid of Jews. Don't be afraid. You know, when Christ was hiding from Jews, it was because he understood what would happen to him. And it would not be wonderful, but he, you know, he had to wait till his time to be sacrificed as our sacrifice, the Israelite sacrifice. That's what you need to understand. Folks, Romans chapter 9 says, you know, goes ahead and makes a difference between the Edomites and the true Israelites. And the Gentiles, the so-called Gentiles, all it meant were people of a certain tribe. And these Greeks, they had the blood of Judah and the blood of Dan in them, and the blood of other tribes as well. They had, you know, in some cases you had the Danites go as far as Ireland. And pretty well, the Ulstermen here, they were descended from Zerah. and the, you know, the rest of the south, southern ones here were descended in many cases from the Tuatha De Dan. And then you had another bunch called the Milesians. And I forget offhand where they would, which tribe they were descended from. Well, folks, you end up having plenty, you know, you end up having plenty of Israelites being born. And the land of Canaan was not big enough for all of them. It really could never support more than 3 million in intensive farming at any one given time. And so if a man ended up having more than one or two sons here, they had to go elsewhere outside of Israel. And that's what they did. They went to Phoenicia and became seafarers, especially the Danites and some other tribes. I forget which ones. But folks, we have expanded. Just like Yahweh promised Abraham and promised Isaac and promised Jacob Israel that we would be as the sands of the seas. And pretty well, we were given our birthright, and we have wasted it, just like Esau did. Esau went ahead and sold it for a lump of porridge, but he'd already lost his birthright when he went ahead and married those two Hivite, Hittite women, Canaanite women. He went ahead and he threw it. He went ahead and essentially he viewed his pecker as being far more than, you know, valuable for righteousness. It had pretty well been a burden to him that he didn't want ever since he was in the womb of his mother, ever since conception. Because just as Yahweh loved Israel and hated Esau, Edom, so too did Esau essentially hate Yahweh and hate his brother, Jacob Israel. Just much like Cain, the son of the evil one, hated Abel. And so, drifted into murder. And there was no way that Yahweh would ever go ahead and love the little Jew. And that's what people who supposedly should know better. Why can you not make peace with Bill Fink? Why can't you make peace with Eli James? Why can't you go ahead and forgive Eli James for calling the FBI on you with Brian Rio and taking down your web pages? Well, folks, it's not just that. It's the fact that Eli James is a Jew. He's a more dangerous Jew than Bill Fink because he's a nicer Jew. He's been in Christianity and knows more about than Fink will ever will. Fink is just a nasty sociopathic Jew. Anglem C.S. O'Trude is just a nasty manser. Morris Gallet is just a drunken crackhead. But I can forgive. And that's why I tried to go ahead and save Morris Gallet's church, and I've been disappointed. I was wrong in doing so. It should have gone ahead and got to where it can't be a stumbling block, allowing mansers to play Aryan nations. But folks, I can forgive Morris Gallet even if he wronged me, because, you know, Morris Gallet, although he's a drunken crackhead and a Zogbot stitch, and that's really unforgivable. But I could go ahead and forgive Morris Gallet because he is a brother. He's a brother Israelite, even though a traitor, which is unforgivable. But I can't forgive a Jew. I can't overlook the fact that a Jew is a Jew. There's no way I can do that. And there's no way I will do that. I refuse to do that. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and just pretty well end it. You know, end the chat tonight. It looks like the Massachusetts guy, is still there here, even though it's 1 o'clock back east here. It's a little bit after midnight, my time. It's 10 o'clock, Pacific time. But folks, I'm going to go ahead and I think I'm going to go ahead and end the chat portion of it tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and say, may Yahweh bless. Well, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White and clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out God's tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was there, the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. Four white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On dogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out God's hope. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow.